Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Bring him in, Joe. Or do I bring him in, Robbie?
That would be Joe.
Joe, bring him in.
It begins.
Hi, fellas. All right, now go right to the Robin Show.
True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
I'll do this one myself.
Howdy.
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 Howdy, Mike.
Howdy.
And good,
howdy.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Bumpy Plane Ride and all the ships at sea. They enjoy being in Houston even more than Bobby Brown.
What up, Bump?
Live from Superb Owl 38, rather.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo of Ivo Barbota.
Yeah, and hello.
Yahoo!
Hello, and hi. Thank you for listening to Don and my show. It's always awkward at the beginning.
Because
we're around all these guys that are staring at us.
Isn't this great?
It's a new episode on this Friday. January 30. Joe hit the other music thing there because... we're out of control. And, hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there. Well, we made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're here in what they call, once again, Radio Row,
and,
which is really just the best place to be.
And it's really humbling for us to walk up and down Radio Row. We're in the convention center in Houston where the Super Bowl will be played on Sunday.
Thank you, Rob.
It's a CBS production. We kind of work for CBS. And as I walked down Radio Row, I saw a bunch of shows from real podunk POS cities and stations.
We remember the days when we'd come to this thing and there would be six radio stations.
Well, now there's like 100 of them,
yes.
But they've all got banners and they've all got interactive games.
And we've officially got Dick.
We have this, Mike.
Oh, yeah, we have a sign.
We have a piece of paper that was made by a desktop printer that says CBS Radio.
Yes, that's what we have.
CBS Radio.
That's official.
And there's a shock.
As usual, they put us off the main drag. BS Radio. Yes, take the C out, Rob.
There's a shock that that we're kind of hidden behind everybody else. And once we start doing the show... and people realize the volume of which actual radio entertainers speak as opposed to...
And really, that's exactly what we are. Unlike some of these other individuals, we have to consider ourselves radio entertainers.
Well, so here's the thing, Mike. They have the same volume level as we do.
Right.
But it's not entertaining. It's just that yelling that back and forth. We heard before we went on the air in the last 30 seconds, we heard defense... guys screaming at each other.
Right.
Defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. We're representing.
Right.
We're representing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play like that.
That's right.
Now, these are DJs talking.
That's right.
Hart wins football games.
Hart wins football games. All the cliches. Everybody out here in beautiful, scenic Houston, Texas.
Okay, let's get ready for our Houston travelogue, everybody. Because, as it turns out, I'm the one... that the Chamber of Commerce wants to talk to.
Big and bright.
Sing it, Mike.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, so we're in Houston for the Super Bowl, for the big game.
Yes.
I want to do things in chronological order, but I can't. I'd like to discuss the idiots that we saw in the bar at D.C. at Alzheimer's Airport.
You mean the guys with the wool caps on when it was like 700 degrees in there?
No, the best was when the one guy walked over and sat down and ordered a bottle of water.
Yes, and the poor man got a little too close to our inner circle, and Rob exclaimed very loudly, "Whatever!"
And the guy
he left.
The guy heard us.
He left shortly thereafter.
It was awful. And then we've got the flight to Houston, which was uneventful except for the lovely. And I know that
I noticed
jealous.
That you were next to a fetching young woman that you appeared, and I could only see because I was like two rows back. it appeared to me that you were engaging her in some serious conversation.
Well, I thought for the longest time that I was meeting with a celebrity, I thought I was meeting with Jenny Craig.
Oh, you thought that was Jenny?
Good to know.
You thought it was not. I was too young for Jenny Craig.
No, and she was fat.
She was fat, but you were you not talking, especially towards the end of the flight, were you exchanging numbers?
No, here's why we talked a lot, because, and listen, I have a very active bladder.
Right.
And I've got no problem with the 30 minutes after the plane takes off, no one can leave. I'm all for that for safety.
Right.
But she was dying at that 30-minute mark. She said, I got to go to the bathroom. She got up to go to the bathroom on a three-hour flight 6 times.
Wow. Yeah, now I know what it was, because a couple of times you gave me the look like, here I go again.
Yeah, come on now, honey. What are you doing?
Yeah, but there was no real conversation going on there.
No, the only conversation was about the bathroom.
Right.
Where I finally said to her when she came.
Did you find that bathroom on the plane to be unusually small, too?
It was only in there once. It looked like any other way.
I don't know. Maybe my head's beginning to swell.
It looked like normal size. She had come back every single time and we made the small talk with...
I don't know what was wrong with me. I might have been a little drunk.
you think so, Mike?
That's right.
I might have been a little drunk before we even took off.
You think you had some Jesus juice?
I might have not had anything to drink for about a week, and when I had something to drink, it went right to my head.
So she got up by the sixth time when she sat down, and by this time we had gotten on a first name basis.
Right.
I told her my name was Charlie. and her name is, you know, who cares?
Right.
And she works for Capital One is who she works for. And finally I asked her the sixth time when...
The credit card company?
Yeah, they're based in D.C.
Right.
So the last thing I asked her, I said, if you don't mind, without me being too personal, every time that you've gone, have you gone number one or gone number two?
You asked her that?
I asked her, well, wow. We were landing.
And then did she let you smell her fingers?
No, she did not. She said, I guess that's funny, but a woman never tells.
Oh, so she got the joke. Yeah, she was pleasant. She didn't slap you.
No, so everything was fine.
You insensitive bastard. I won't speak to you for the rest of the flight now.
Here's now where it gets nutty. We get to the airport, and we're going to bring this up with our manager a little bit later about how, for whatever reason, the town of Houston seems real nice.
It's okay.
From what we've seen.
Downtown Houston seems like many other cities in this fine land of ours.
It's a beautiful, they've done a nice renovation on about a 10-block area downtown.
I was informed when we landed, I think I asked somebody, said it's kind of spread out.
Well,
that is the effing understatement of the decade.
You're goddamn right. That Buzz is 18 miles one way. Right. Mike and Rob
We're 45 minutes from the airport.
Mike and Rob are 24 miles another way. And thanks to my friends at the Baltimore Ravens.
We're only about an hour from the broadcast site, though. So if you add up an hour and 45 minutes, you give 15 minutes for traffic. We're 2 hours away from effing everything.
I'm still far away from everything, even though the Ravens hooked me up with this hotel. And I'm thankful to them. And gosh, am I lucky, because when I inquired as to room service, they told me there was an Albertsons right next door.
A grocery store.
So there's a grocery store right next to
even better
to my hotel. But everything is fine. We got to the airport, and this is where it got bad, because we're all in different hotels. Mike and Rob got in a shuttle, got in a cab to go to their place.
We slept together last night.
Buzz got in a cab to go to his place. Mm-hmm. Charlie Broyhill and Lisa got into their love mobile and took off. And I rented a car, because we're all leaving at different times, and I like to drive.
Right. You know what I noticed? Driving around today, this morning I was driving around wherever the hell I was. I don't think it was Houston. I think it might have been like Dallas. Okay. I'm not sure. I know I was far away, and I had no idea where I was. But what I saw was some of those fancy-dancy upscale car rental places, like three of them, where you could rent like super deluxe fancy cars and pay like $1 million for one day.
You've done that before.
Yeah, but I did that when we were in L.A.
You did.
When we were in Hollywood, I did. I don't think you're going to do that in Houston.
Now, I got a nice CLI Taurus. It wasn't even a CLI Taurus.
You got a Crown
Vic. The original car, no. The original car that was a Mercury Grand Marquis.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Now, early before you said, I'll tell you on the air. So you had to go back to the airport?
No.
What happened to your car?
Listen to this. Again, everything's fine. It's confusing. It's a new airport, but the people are very nice, and I have good directions to get to my hotel. And I'm driving along, and it's got the navigational system that says, you know, turn left ahead, turn right ahead.
Not too long a walk from the airplane to the curb.
Well, try going to the rental car place. I mean, yeah, this airport is very, very. I don't want to use the S word. I don't want to use the S word when I'm just...
You know what it is? Use the C word. It's confused.
Is it common to have to go through a parking lot to get to your luggage?
And I don't want to classify this town with the S word.
No. I just want
because
to...
Because it's not. And I don't think you know the S word I'm talking about.
I do.
I don't... I don't want to say that it's a bigger Sacramento.
It is.
It is.
It's Sacramento
it,
on steroids is what it is. That's what Houston is.
It appears to be.
Just for people that are planning on traveling at some time in the future, planning on traveling to Houston for whatever reason.
This is not brought to you by the NFL Chamber of Commerce incidentally.
This is what I will tell you. When you get off your airplane, you go straight. Then take a left, then a right, then a left, then a right, then a right, then a left, then a left, then a right, then walk a mile. Then take a left, right, left, right, left, right, walk another mile, left, right, left, right, left, right, and you're still not out of the effing airport.
But amazingly, I make it all the way to the car place. I get the car. It's a big old man car, so I'm happy with it.
What kind? Do you remember the brand?
It was a Grand Marquis.
A Grand Marquis.
A Grand Marquis, like a real
nice
old fart car.
A Mercury.
So I'm wheeling the baby out, and we get out on the road, and things are fine, and I'm getting the thing is saying now 3.1 miles from the hotel.
You weren't part of that big pileup that I saw on the news this morning.
I absolutely was not, and there was not even a car crash that happened to the vehicle. I was driving down...
That would indicate to me that there was a car crash.
Something did happen.
You said that right up front. What did you hit?
Oh, no, because I know you're waiting to hear.
You know there was a pedestrian hit last night, too. A hit and run.
Okay, I have an alibi. Okay.
Okay.
This is nothing of the sort. Now, listen to that. Just a weird way that things work out. I'm driving down this road that says, I'm by the medical center, the University of Texas or Rice University, whatever it is.
It's huge.
The medical center area. And this is the hotel is just 2 miles away. And all of a sudden, I notice that the wheel just pulls a little bit to the left. I don't think anything about it. I just keep going.
How about you, the body under your car?
Right. Okay.
Or like a body part.
I get you if I had run over that person. But I thought we already went over this story before
we went
out here tonight.
Please proceed.
So then I hear pop.
Oh.
Now keep in mind, I'm driving on a four-lane highway. There's no obstruction in the road. There's no curb. There's no, like, none of those speed bumps. Speed limit on this road is 45 miles an hour. All of a sudden, the car really starts. You know when a car, when tires are effed up in a car?
Oh, yeah.
And a car acts like it's having a stroke.
And you can, like, if you take your hand off the wheel, it's going to hang a heavy left turn.
So the thing is going, it's going like this, and I don't know what the hell is happening. And I pull it into this parking lot of a building that was nearby, and it was the Ronald McDonald House of Houston. I pull into the Ronald McDonald House, and I notice that I have got on my car two flat tires.
Two?
I have
two.
The front left is flat, uh-huh, and the rear right is flat.
Like somebody punctured them or something.
Well, no, I was just driving along a road. I don't see how anybody could have punctured them.
Charlie, what are you pointing at? I mean, that's so. What are you pointing at? What is going on?
I was pointing out something for Rob.
Okay.
There's a guy that looks just like Jack Elam. That's all.
You mean the guy you want to take that?
Oh, but come on now. I'm in the middle of a story here, Charlie.
I got totally distracted by that. Charlie gets excited about the strangest things, doesn't he?
Well, you know what it is? I think he hates the show. I think he just hates the show. He sits here, he hates to just have to listen to the show.
Charlie, do you hate the show now? After all these years, do you hate the show?
Not one bit.
Do you hate the fact that you're actually sitting across from us, so watching us do the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're back in the producer's room and we're doing the real show, do you gesture wildly at things you see during
all
the show?
Time.
Do you mumble
all
constantly?
The time.
Yeah. Charlie, if you'd done it once, it would have been fine, but it's like, Rob, look at him! I'm sorry. I'm easily distracted.
Hold on, because I pulled this.
So you have two flat tires. You pull into the parking lot of the Ronald McDonald.
I swear to God.
I believe you.
Wouldn't
make that crap up.
I wouldn't make this up. So I call Hertz.
Nice. Dick?
My No, not Dick Hertz. The Ronald Company,
yes.
Hertz. I call him up and... I explain.
She answers the phone.
I explain to them, oh, listen, I just got this car at the airport like an hour ago. I was driving down a road. All right, it's raining a little bit, but I don't know, but it's got two flat tires. I can't even change one tire and keep going. She said, well, I really don't know what we can do to help you. And meanwhile, I'm standing there in the pouring rain.
It's a nice ad for Hertz.
So, well, no, they made it right.
Okay.
But there's a long way to them making it right. Because I ended up getting so frustrated with the woman on the telephone, while waiting for her to call me back, I just called for a yellow cab. And I gave him my address. And now, so a cab has shown up to take me to
Did you do what you usually do, leave the car locked and running with the keys in the ignition?
Are you ready?
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
He taught you well.
I said to the lady at Hertz, after I'd been standing in and out of this pouring rain for about 20 minutes on the phone with her, while the cab guy was waiting, I said, listen, for the last time, darling, the car has two flat tires. I don't know. Maybe it was my fault. Maybe it was just God's fault. Maybe it was the weather.
Do you know if you were speaking to somebody locally or was it somebody like at the 800 number?
At the 800 number. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lock the keys inside the car. Because nobody's going to come and steal the car, because if they get the spare out, they're only going to be able to change one tire.
Right.
You still need two tires. So I'm going to put the keys in the car, and you get back to me and let me know what the deal is.
Okay.
And of course, I learned this trick from
Scott Shannon,
who left, you know, once left, we were coming back from a pig roast in Charlotte.
And, naturally.
We arrived at the airport late, and he just pulled the car up in front of the airport where it says departures. And we got out, and he just left the car running.
Right.
And it was a rental car, and a cop said, you can't leave the car there. He said, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. He left it running. It was the rental car company's fault.
So
it was their problem.
So I get to my hotel, and the cell phone rings, and it's Hertz. And they said, hey, great news. We've contacted a tow truck operator, and what he's going to do is tow your car, and there's some paperwork that we have to fill out tonight, and we're going to get you a new car tonight. And we're going to bring the car to you. Now, keep in mind, all of this is happening at 2 a.m.
Yeah. It's good. Well, then that's good for Hertz that they were responding to your every need at that hour.
2 a.m. East Coast time. 1 a.m. Houston time. And this is after, when I got back to the hotel, the lady called me and said, we'll be there within an hour.
Okay. So this is about what time? About 2 o'clock?
At midnight, she said, we'll be there within an hour.
Okay. All right.
At 1 o'clock, she said, within an hour and 15 minutes.
Ooh.
It got to be 2:30 when I finally thought, what the hell, I'm just going to go to sleep. If the guy shows up, great.
Right.
So I go to sleep, but it's not that restful sleep because I'm expecting the guy from Hertz to
Was it a fitful sleep?
No, it was not, because I'm expecting the guy to knock at my door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did give me a nice end result on this, but you tell me if this is not just the Charlie-est.
Get to know Charlie.
The most bass-ackwards way of doing things.
Your car's here.
They
like it.
They call me up this morning.
It's a Cooper Mini.
They call me up this morning at 6:30. The Hertz people do.
Right.
And they say, we're just double-checking. How is everything? And I said, how is everything? I stayed up until 2:30 in the morning. Your guy never showed up. She said, well, no, I showed that the car was towed from the Ronald McDonald house, you know, which is funny, too, the Ronald McDonald house parking lot. I said, well, I never got a car. She said, oh, did you need a car? And at that point, I said, no, you know what, really? Now that I see how far away my hotel is from everything, I guess I could just cab. It's confusing to drive. I don't need a car. She said, I've got a car on the way to you. The car will be there in the next 35 minutes. I said, great. I hung up the phone.
Sure.
Got to be 7:30. It got to be 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
I'm calling Hertz.
Oh,
I go, hi. Hey, listen. And by now, I'm not even having to tell them my reference number or anything. They already know. I go, hey, it's me. It's, you know, it's...
Michael Sars.
And, you know, I had the flat tires last night. Yes. Oh, yes. Listen, we had the tow truck driver get a car, and there's a major accident on the road. He should be there within the next 2 hours. And I said, but I got to go to work. I said, I got to figure out what we're going to do. And really, I've been sitting around since 1 a.m.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
waiting for, and you know, I'm fine to just say, let the goddamn thing go.
So right. You're a little sleep deprived today.
Yes, I am.
I slept like a bambino.
Guy shows up about 9:30. Yeah, I pick up the phone. Hello, he goes, I'm your car guy. And I said, great, thank you very much. You couldn't have been nicer. Went down to the front of the hotel where he had...
A minivan.
No, he had a Crown Vic.
Oh, really? Well, they could have done better than that.
Well, you know, a car is a car, and it's Super Bowl week.
I think, really, with the agony you went through, it should have been a Hummer.
But here's what I don't get.
You should have gotten a Hummer and a Hummer.
Rather than just, you know, why wouldn't you just have, like, two guys driving a car out, or I say, okay, if you got to go out and do some calls today, let's take two cars, and you drop this one off to this jockey who had the two flat tires. No, what they did was they had the same tow truck driver
mm-hmm.
who towed the car with the flats in all the way to the airport last night.
You think you didn't get any sleep?
Yeah,
how about him?
That's what he was telling me.
Yeah.
He said he towed it all the way in last night, and then they said, no, we don't have a car to give the guy. So he went back home. Then they called him at 6 o'clock this morning when I was on the phone. They sent the guy all the way back to the airport.
To tow it to you?
To tow it to me. And
how stupid is that?
And the way that they towed it was where there's one of those ramps,
yeah,
and they get that, they get that winch. So
I bet you felt like quite the celebrity. Here's your brand new car delivered to Houston for your convenience.
The guy pulls up, and I'm feeling bad because I got bags under my eyes and stuff. But this guy seriously has not slept all night. Wow. And the guy says to me, I'm so sorry. I've been trying to get you this car all night long.
What the hell is that?
It's loud.
What's going on?
Mike, anything can happen in the NFL. Anything can happen when you're in Houston.
The stars are bright at night, bright,
bright,
big, big, bright, bright.
Deep in the heart
of Dallas, Houston, Texas, Galveston, Corpus.
Houston. So, anyway... That's it. I got the car.
You're exhausted.
Yeah, I am, because I was up all night. Because
wow.
I really did sleep very well. I passed out and slept beautiful.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of pressure. Now, I admire Shannon for being the type of guy who could take a car and just leave the keys in it, leave it running in front of the airport.
Right.
Now, I didn't want to wait around for 2 hours in a thunderstorm, which was happening last night in Houston.
That's why we had that kind of flight we did, huh?
Yeah, hey, bumpy city, huh?
A little bit nervous for
me. Thank goodness for the Jesus juice.
The Jesus juice, I was, you know, because it's not the question of calming down and not being afraid. It's not realizing how much it'll hurt if you die. So that's why I drink on an airplane.
The reason that I was waiting for this guy last night, and the reason that I'm waiting when I get up this morning, is the fact that I feel that I've got this car hanging over my head.
Yeah, like you're gonna own the car or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I don't know where it is, because I left it at the Ronald McDonald House and I locked the keys inside, and then I'm calling them up, where's the car? Well, she says,
you know, I left the keys in the car down in Miami at one of those upscale rentals. I rented a slightly nicer car when
right?
I was down there. And they said they were going to send me a receipt, and they never sent me a receipt. And I left the keys in it in the parking garage, which is what the guy on the phone told me to do. And they never called me, and I never double-checked. Do you think, like, I have a $30,000 charge on my account?
No, I'm sure that they would get... You'd know it.
By now?
You'd know it. That's one thing the lady told me.
But you worry about that, because when you leave a car, even though it's a rental, you're concerned that you're responsible for it.
Of course, and who can I talk to? I was afraid to call my wife and tell her. Because
well, it wasn't your fault the car had flat tires,
right.
Or was it?
Doesn't matter.
Did we lean up against a curb or something? Don't look at me like I'm just asking a legitimate question.
No, we did not lean up against it. I would tell you.
Did you grind it on the curb or something like that?
There's not a curb on the road.
Whilst lighting a cigar, did the car accidentally veer against the curb?
Negative, negative, right. Negative.
Just checking.
Negative. I just wanted to get to my beautiful kitchenette-style hotel.
Sure.
And
hey, you got a better one than I do.
You're efficient.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But you know, the one answer at my hotel when I checked in to all my little questions of convenience that I had.
Yeah.
The answer was no.
Okay, let's play the game.
Is there any food in the room? No.
Okay, let's play the game. I asked the same questions to see if the answers were.
You know, and we're going to sound like spoiled, rotten kids here, but I'm going to tell you when we're on the
we
road.
We are.
When we're on the road, no, you just get spoiled because you want, because when you travel a lot, you get used to certain things you want.
Here's the thing when you go to the Super Bowl, and the problem is that we've tasted.
Okay, did your room have a bathroom?
We've tasted some of the nectar that if you're staying at one of the close hotels where everything is happening,
you get everything.
Right.
You get the 24-hour room service.
You get
the mini bar.
Not only that, but you get free stuff. I mean,
you get free junk in the room. You get the good magazines that describe the city. You don't get that little pamphlet with the little ears coming out of it that say fire escape.
The hotels that we're at are not the greatest, but we're grateful for the accommodations.
Good bed. I had a good bed. I had a great bed.
I have a doorbell.
The pisser, though, is when you've got all of these CBS guys that are staying.
Everybody except for us staying at great, and I just broke a pen cap. I'm so pissed about that.
And I have to ask Charlie, is Mike Eby staying at one of the good hotels? Because if he is, I really am going to shoot myself.
I would imagine he is. He's going to be producing the game on Sunday.
Okay.
He's producing the game? Is he a big shot now?
No, he's...
Is he kind of a big shot? Because he's a hammerhead.
Can't be.
He's bigger than when he left us.
Here's
Well, when he left us, he was
right.
DM.
There was a guy on this show. He was an intern known as Mike Rockhead, not to be confused with Joe Rockhead, who was...
He's typical of the kind of guy that just rises through the ranks.
President
of the effing network someday because he's...
Indubitably, that's Joe Rockhead.
But he is a close second to Rockhead.
Larry started that way.
And Mike Rockhead...
He did.
Exactly.
And now he's his senior VP.
Mike Rockhead was famous on our show. One day when we got 3 inches of snow, he refused to drive his Mustang to work.
Mike Eby, is that his name?
Yeah.
Right.
But his name on the show is Mike Rockhead. So now he works for Westwood One. He works in the sports department. I got here at the site today, and I'm talking to Larry Michael from Westwood One, and I said, you know, we need some guests. And incidentally, right now, it looks like we're going to have absolutely no guests. Do you know that Dick Jim Nance, is he calling in today at least?
Yes.
He lives in Houston.
Yeah, he was the guy that said, hey, guys, when you come down here, looking forward to taking you out on the town.
The Super Bowl is in Houston, and he's here doing his TV thing. However, today, after being on our show for 16 weeks,
right,
he can't come down to do a live appearance.
You know what it is. You know what it is.
Absolutely.
I think we make the mistake
sometimes.
Are you
a jerk face?
Absolutely.
We sometimes forget where we are on the food chain. We really do. We forget where we are.
Jim?
How about after we get finished with the broadcast, you come with me to the CBS party?
That's another one we found out we're not invited to. So Nance is just going to call. I mean, he's here, but he's too busy. He's in one of the fancy hotels.
Is he busy?
Right on, and let me explain something to you. It's his city. He's welcoming everybody from around the country to his city and throwing quite a party. As a matter of fact, the opening ceremonies, which they've never had a Super Bowl before. Jim Nance throwing the big coordinating, the big CBS Super
Bowl. So today's the day. It's the combination, the sleep deprivation, worrying about the car. Mike is battling a bit of whatever the creeping grub.
I have bronchitis, and I'm taking antibiotics for my bronchitis, and it's a wonderful wonder drug because at the same time, it will cure all the other diseases that are in my body now.
And even though we're at the Super Bowl, and I should be as happy as a pig in ass, and I am because it's everything football,
right.
It's gotten to the point now where you can't eat. It used to be a regular working stiff. If you're here promoting the Super Bowl, you'd get a cheese sandwich for free.
Yeah, at least. They'd give you something for free. They would actually knock back. You could get free beverages, get yourself some free chow. Well, they've decided that they want to schmooze the bigwigs a little bit, so we're not going to get a free sandwich anymore.
No, but that was a mighty, mighty good $8.95 chicken Caesar that I believe was made outside the country and flown in and unrefrigerated.
Yes, and sprayed with a type of substance that allows the lettuce to remain green even in a completely wilted state.
Even though it was called chicken Caesar, it was actually made of Asian bird.
It was actually, that was not chicken. That's right, because they've got that big bird flu over there.
I feel fluish.
You know, we've had shows before where we've not been the greatest of moods.
This is true.
And I think this might be one of them. if we break, John Riggins will come on. So,
well, you know, that puts me in a better mood because it's been a long time since we've chatted with Riggo.
Anyway.
Number 44.
Here's the thing about the hotels. Here's the pisser. Alan Linewand, I'm sure he never even played football when he was a boy.
Oh, of course he didn't.
I'm sure he doesn't even know the rules of the game.
Not here for a broadcast.
Do you realize he's here
with his manicured fingernails?
And he's going to the parties, and he's staying at the fancy hotel.
And he doesn't give a rat's ass about his meal ticket.
So I call him up, and I say, are you going to come by and be on the show today? And he says, I don't think so, pal. I don't think I'm up for that, pal.
Yeah, of course he's not up for it. What he's up for is just sucking off the CBS teat.
He's staying in Jim Nance's room at his mom's house.
Going to all the parties, staying at the rich man's hotel, while we, meanwhile, have to stay at the BM Palace.
I said to him, that's all right.
Sucks.
I'm going to go over to Albertson's tonight.
get some cheese sticks. Bring him back to your room and start a fire in the room.
Like a nice Uncle Ben's pasta bowl that I can microwave. It's like 360 calories.
That's right. But it's okay. At least it's close by. It's only 40 minutes from the convention center where we're doing the broadcast.
And we're at the Super Bowl. And then, we find out at the last minute, all of the guests that Westwood One lined up for us, all those great people we've been promoting,
right?
They all suddenly have got
the bird flu.
Yeah, that's right, the Asian bird
flu. They got the Asian Caesar.
So let's,
we wanted him by, but he's got the Asian bird flu.
Let's, let's break here. When we come back, John Riggins. There now, okay, we'll get at least one decent guest today.
Mr. O'Meara, it's good to see you again after all this time, Mr. John Riggins. I didn't see him football player.
We're live at the Super Bowl in Sacra, Houston. We'll be right back.
WJFK is now online.
Donovan back to pass. He's got a man open in the end zone. It's Joe Artinger. The pass is there, and he drops the ball. And the Eagles do not win the Super Bowl. And as we review this Super Bowl, it was all Joe Artinger's fault.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting in black and white as an Infinity cost-cutting measure. The Don and Mike Show.
We're back at the Super Bowl with John Riggins. But certainly, this guy, Mike Rockhead, who was our intern.
Mike, what's his last name? What's his real last name?
Mike Eby. So the thing is, Larry says to me, this guy's going to get you guys some guests, because Larry works for Westwood One, the NFL thing.
This is our former intern, incidentally.
So he comes over, and I say, hey, what's happening? And he goes, what's the first thing he said?
He said basically he couldn't do it, but he said it in a very disparaging way.
I said, what's happening? And he said, hey, what's happening to you? I said, I understand you're going to be getting us some guests today. And he said,
No,
I'm not.
No, I'm not. I've got things to do. That's what he said. I've got things to do.
Correct. Here's John Riggins. Right. Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
Hey, it's been a long time.
It has been. What was the name? Red Sage or something like that? Red Cactus?
I think the last time, there, the and I think you were there.
Tex-Mex place or something.
I was.
Yeah.
Not,
oh, yeah. Oh,
not
yeah.
for the whole night.
Yeah. Right when I started to get abusive, I believe it was.
In a land.
Hey, folks, these guys got thin skin now. I'm here to tell you.
A long time ago, in a land far, far away, I occasionally would. Go out.
I was at that land a couple nights ago, actually. Mike.
John and I would go out occasionally and see the town.
John, what is it about you that you're not on TV all the time doing the games, because you do say things the way you really think of? I watch you on the George and Sonny show. I hear you on the radio. You're well-spoken. But is it the fact that you're just not afraid to say someone is...
I think it's race-related.
What they are? Or do you think it was the fact that you were on a soap opera?
That's probably the clincher right there. After that sterling performance is Mitch Hendon, the Bulldog Marine. When he came in, you know, he was growling like a lion, and when they took him out, it was like that movie that Eddie Murphy was in. He was crying like a pussy.
So, besides that, you were on Broadway.
I live close to Broadway. That's about it. And I walk up it every once in a while. But no, I haven't. But I might be at something this spring.
You did an off-Broadway deal. You did an off-Broadway play, right?
Yeah, a couple
years
ago I did Gillette.
Mm-hmm.
And had a lot of fun with that. And the same producer and director. It's just a little theater there.
So why are you doing that and like not being one of these guys sitting on one of these dumb, flashy sets saying what's really going on?
What's that?
Why are you doing that other stuff when you should be like sitting with that guy Rich what's his
Eisen.
Name
Eisen. Yeah, you're right. Actually, you're right. That obviously pays a lot more. Well, I'm kind of, you know,
no, and you're
obviously
good.
If I'd have handled my life a little bit differently, maybe I would be doing that.
I think you handled
picking
your
up the pieces
fine.
Yeah, I'm not apologizing.
Don't apologize to anybody,
I've,
John.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun. So
John,
I continue to, and I do like to act. So you never know. You know, I might show up. In fact, this fall I would have probably. Well, I don't know. I had an audition for it, but I've been on Law and Order, and so. So, you know, you get the little stuff. And
but do you like, I think what the question is, do you seem, and I was talking to you right before we went on here, you seem to really dig doing the acting mm-hmm. as opposed to doing the standard
football
broadcasting, sportscasting.
Well, look, football to me is not, I mean, I played it, so, you know, there's nothing out there that these guys do that I just go, wow, unbelievable, and I just got to keep snorting it up, you know. I look for the yucks, right? I mean, that's what I get out of it is, you know, it's people being people, and they're put in certain, it's almost like I could go to the Goodyear factory where they're making tires and probably find some humor there. You know,
I was watching you,
I see a title. Now, it's similar to another title on TV right now, According to John.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know how America loves...
You mean a sitcom?
America loves Jim Belushi.
According to John.
And Jim Belushi can't carry your jockstrap. Imagine if you got on a show like that,
We could write it. We could write. What do they call it? A pilot.
Treatment.
A treatment.
Would
a
you
treatment,
ever? Right. Would you ever do a situation comedy?
Hey, drag it past me. Yeah. Can't you see in my, underneath my bank says hose bag?
You could do it. You could.
Eight simple rules to ruin your liver.
But you are. You know. You watch so many guys.
Telecom, either I gained 20 pounds overnight, or my liver was three times its size the day before.
You know, I was watching you and Joe today, Joe Theismann, on some show. I don't know what show.
Yeah, it was
on all shows.
On all shows. And it's just, I mean, watching you, I mean, you're obviously, you're better than most at the color commentary and as an analysis, but you basically say that you've been there, you've done that, and you want to do other stuff. Is that,
that's a fair statement. I mean, I still enjoy it, but, you know, I'm kind of I got a different I don't know if it's a different technique, a different, I look for different things, and what, I should say, what excites me, what gets me going, might not be what the average fan gets him going. I mean, mm-hmm. The insight that I have isn't, you know, necessarily.
So when you're here this week, understanding that you're a guy who's played it, you've done it, you've blah, 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 really at some level, is there some very cynical part of you that looks at all of this, including us, you know, the happy clowns that are here for this? You look at all this and go, what a load of crap. Really, look at this. All the
That was 10 years ago. I'm sure that's what I used to do. But not anymore, really, because, you know, when you kind of get outside yourself for a little bit, you look at this, because it's gotten very corporate. Let's face it. This is what, you know, it's all about, selling something down here and marketing something, and that's what I'm doing. I'm marketing myself. I'm no different. And that's the way this world works. That's what capitalism is all about. And if you don't like that, then you don't like capitalism, and you're probably in the wrong country. So, I'm kind of...
Have you ever considered...
I don't know if I've grown up. I'd hate to do that, but maybe I'm a tourist.
In your younger days, did you ever consider leaving the country, John? Did you ever think of...
No. A guy like me couldn't survive outside the United States.
So when you watch these guys today, and when they come up to you, do the guys from today, do they have any idea?
Some of them do.
Yeah, and the guys that don't, and I'm not saying a guy should walk up to you and immediately, you know, kiss your ass, but if a guy says, hey, that's John Riggins, and even if the guy's just...
Within 2 or 3 minutes, he should be kissing my ass. Not right out of the box.
No, you would say, don't you remember that play in the Super Bowl, the one that they run 1,000 times over and over again, and still you get the, are you persona...
What's tough is when you're doing the sideline reporting, and you come down, and you think, you know, like maybe you go to a player, and they kind of look at you with that blank stare, like, yeah.
That's what I mean, right?
And you kind of go, well, okay. And so, you know, you get a little edgy. Not because you expect it. It's kind of like, well, work with me a little bit here.
Right.
But it's kind of like, oh, forget about it.
But now think about
it. But I used to do it, so
I was just
going to
say that. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about that, what you did.
I have a new appreciation for the journalist job, although I'm not a journalist. I'm an entertainer, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were just saying that when we started. We were entertainers, too.
You're a gentertainer. You're a journalist entertainer.
For the Washington listeners, a quick question about Joe Gibbs and coming back to the Redskins. Are you surprised that he came to work?
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you didn't go out there.
2 years ago, or 3 years ago, 3 years. What am I talking about? 3 weeks ago, when it was coming out, the news was breaking that morning. In fact, I was doing the show Cold Pizza up there. Kasize and I was up there doing the FedEx NFL Players of the Year Awards. We were promoting it, and so I get there, and they started the anchor said, "Yeah, it's reported in Washington that Joe Gibbs is going to be the next, you know, rumored that Joe Gibbs is going to be the next coach." I said, "There's no way." Mm-hmm. I said, "You know, maybe." So they've got it wrong, but I could see where he's probably going to be a consultant. He's going to help him out and try to, you know, get him get the boat turned up right side up. And within the hour, they're reporting, in fact, Joe Gibbs is now, it is official, he is going to be the next coach of the Redskins. And I went, God, I can't believe it. Who would ever guessed it? I mean, he has a successful NASCAR racing team, and I have no idea what his motivation was for getting back into the game.
Don't you think
$5.8 million.
I was going to say, when you get down to the bottom,
and I don't blame him.
When you get down to the bottom of it, with all of the lore that guy has, he's like all of us, right? It's a big pile of money. And yeah, you got that thing you want to be competitive, but hey, come on.
Money's good, guys. Money's good. Remember when I said capitalism? That's why we're here.
John, are you a metrosexual?
What's that?
Well, that's what Ryan Seacrest is.
What is a metrosexual? I don't even know that.
It's the newest hip term that all the cats are using.
Metrosexual?
It doesn't mean you're a fag.
You're straight, but you're sensitive and you're in tune with what's going on.
Thank you, Rob.
So are you a metrosexual?
Yeah. And then I turn into Rowdy Yates. If I remember right, Rowdy Yates was a ramrod, right?
Yes. And when you're down here, how in your pants do you keep it when you get down here? I mean, not literally, but I mean, do you go out and have a good time, or do you go out and have a good time?
I went out and had a good time the other night, but it was like I was drug along, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was like, Dr. What's his name? Banner. The Hulk showed up. You know? And you wouldn't like me when I had too many.
I used to love shooters of bookers. I used to love you in those days, John.
John, your handler. You got a guy. Now, how is it you got a guy that's giving us the hurry up sign?
Because I am like the lions in the behind the bars. You gotta, and he's got a whip and a pistol, too. Now.
All right. John, get out of here. It's great seeing
you. All right. Good seeing you guys.
John Reagan, thank you very much.
Oh, and John, before you leave, would you like an autographed picture of Mike and myself?
Sure.
Would you like that too, John?
He went to sign it. No, we're going to sign it for you, John.
No, he's walking away.
Are you sure?
That's the problem.
I wish this was TV so we could recreate that look.
He just got the joke.
Hey, look, that's right. What are you doing? Get out of here.
He just got the joke.
That's right.
He was ready to sign the picture of us.
Let's put it on record. He did not accept our autograph photo.
He turned you down.
And incidentally, is there a chance we can get an update on that one?
You don't like that?
I don't like. Rob, take a look at me.
How about if we did this?
Seriously, I look like Robert Morley.
Fold it in half.
That's all we had.
It's still a funny joke that when someone of notoriety comes up.
I like bringing that joke back.
To say, would you like a picture of us? And he
haven't done that gag in a while.
He didn't even look at it. He just wanted to sign it. He said no.
Wrinkled his face.
Did you see my pre-show greeting from John? You know, he didn't, you know, that's that.
I know he didn't recognize
me. He didn't
you.
Recognize me, and then it was like, ding. But we used to have a good time.
Yeah, you used to have.
John and I had a couple of times.
Mr. Romero. Mr. Romero. What are you doing?
I'll tell you right now, we're going to have you down. I've seen the Incredible Hulk come out, personally.
And as I recall, that's one time when I left. I saw the Hulk come out.
Hulk came out. In fact, that night, I believe, is when the Hulk really came out. It wasn't directed at me. It was directed at me one time. It's not fun when the Hulk is directing his anger at you.
No, it was at somebody else. And I said, that's it. I'm going to leave now because he's been nice to me all night long.
He actually was with a smaller friend of ours, was demonstrating one night his punting ability. As he punted one of our friends out into the street. I mean, I'm talking airborne.
Wow.
A little bit of a guy. He didn't mind. He just shook it off. It was all right. He was being a ween anyway. So John just launched him into the street. It was funny.
The thing is with John Riggins, you know, that everybody has the stories about the history of the Redskins and what he's meant to them. And I have one. Thank you. This is a story that was relayed to me by many Redskins of that era, and I know you've heard it, and it really summarizes everything that the NFL and the Super Bowl is all about.
Amen.
It involves John Riggins. It was back when the Redskins were winning Super Bowls left and right.
Right.
And Coach Joe Gibbs, well, he had a double standard for his star players, as many coaches do.
Of course, they have to.
You could come in late if you wanted to. You could fall asleep in a meeting if you wanted to.
That's
but as
right.
long as you did your job on Sunday, you were okay.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I'm sure you know the meeting I'm talking about, the famous meeting in which...
I know the guy who told you the story that you still honor that, don't you?
No, he can't say his name.
That's right.
Can't say his name. Riggins was laying on the floor in the back of the room where they were showing a movie.
It was a team meeting, and they were going over film.
And he had to go to the bathroom.
And apparently just whipped it out and did it right there.
While laying on his back, creating a fountain-like effect.
A stream.
That
straight up in the air.
Ordinarily, someone playing for tight-ass coach Joe Gibbs would immediately be fired and banned from the league.
He was scoring touchdowns, and Joe let it slide.
However, it's okay to lay on your back and go number one in a meeting.
Apparently,
anyway,
the players dug it, too. The players had quite a
anyway, score. That's what, you know, the Super Bowl means to me.
Amen.
And Steve Sable, who's around here somewhere, that's something you won't see on NFL films.
Not a bit. No, absolutely.
And if we could lose that music for 1 second, is Steve Sable within earshot of us?
Where's Steve? Other way, Don. This
other
one.
Way?
Yeah, he's right.
Oh, well then, I'm going to have to ask the question.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it in hushed tones.
Right. This is a rumor, right?
I'm just asking something.
Yeah, okay.
Which way do you think he swings? I've had some unsubstantiated reports.
Yeah, you never know.
I can't speak to those reports.
We'll try to get to the bottom of it.
But think about it. Yeah. Just think about it the next time you're watching some NFL films.
I'm going to watch it closer than I've ever watched.
Just watch it when he's wearing the soft, corduroy, milky slacks.
Yeah, what's the deal?
The matching
knit top. And what's up with those big, gigantic old man glasses he has?
Well,
do you see those?
Yeah, I don't know whether that speaks to what the...
Do you see those?
What side of the tracks, but...
That's the thing. Incidentally, that's something that's just as crossed the Don and Mike news desk within the last couple of days, that late breaking news.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Brushed denim shirt.
Yeah, Rob wrote down his brushed denim shirt.
Comfortable clothing. Easy in, easy out.
Here's the thing. Let's say we get him over here. There's no way. I mean, what can we say to him? So you're married? How's your family?
It's a start.
Yeah. We do have a plan when Bob Kraft comes by.
Yes, when Bob Kraft comes by, I think anybody that's a regular listener to the Don and Mike show will understand the way that we're going to interview him.
But we've decided, Mike and I said...
We have to keep it brief because we will both make each other laugh.
We will laugh too much, but if we just say... Hello, Mr. Kraft. Thank you for your incredible contributions to the New England Patriots.
Congratulations on another Super Bowl appearance. What do you think will be the outcome of the game?
And that's all we want to do. We just missed the chance to have him on. He was just right here. But
Godspeed, Mr. Kraft.
But Rigo was waiting to come on the show, and we do appreciate that. Now, this is where our guest situation gets dicey. John only came by because John is a buddy and acquaintance of ours for many years. Jim Nance, as I mentioned...
Has stiffed us. Has chosen in his home city to not come by and say hi.
So we're going to have it out with him today. Boomer Esiason...
He was here earlier.
Yeah, I walked directly by him and made direct eye contact with him, yet...
Did he look right through you?
Rob, did Boomer look right through me? You were there.
Did he address you like you were a piece of gum on his shoe?
He looked through you, and so did Chris Collinsworth.
They both did. Yes, I forgot.
Well, in fairness to those guys, they're so descended upon out here, they probably look through everybody.
There goes Steve Sable. Oh, I'd love to just call him back. I go, Steve, you do great work. How's your family?
Mm-hmm.
God, can't we get him back here? Just for a second.
I'm feeling queasy. I'm feeling nauseous. Brushed denim.
When's the last time anyone really wondered about the sexuality of Steve Sable?
You know, it's not exactly top of mind for me.
And, you know, it's fine with me, whichever way.
Exactly. Oh, not even that there's anything wrong with that.
Even if it's in the very middle. A little of this and a little of that.
Now you're talking like you talked to Bob Kraft.
No.
Congratulations on your Patriots.
You know what's
and I love you, Kamel.
The thing is that we're here at the Super Bowl, and other than John Riggins, who's a nice guy, all of these big-powered CBS guests that they've had lined up for
us. As he laid on his back on the frozen tundra of the Redskins' playroom, suddenly a stream shot up into the air, a golden stream landing in a puddle to the left on the players' room carpeting. That was a special moment in Redskins' history.
And, of course, for Alan,
this moment in Redskins history has been brought to you by National Condom Distributors.
Because everything Redskins is backed up with some kind of ad campaign.
Yeah, everything NFL is, actually. When you come down here, you realize, as John said, how corporate it really is.
Yep. Oh, and boy, did I get some dirty looks today when I said, where can a young man get a Diet Vanilla Coke, or how about even just a regular Diet Coke?
Right? Because of the Pepsi conspiracy?
Yeah. Oh, and also, wonderful time I had with one of the guys in the orange jersey vests things, the security guys.
Right. Yes, they're all over the place here in Houston.
When I got here to the convention center, the door where it said media entrance,
mm-hmm.
there was nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked down a couple more blocks, and there was some AOL people, and they had the door propped open. And I said, hey, I'm just trying to get in to get my media pass. And the guy said, okay, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up in the NFL experience, took the escalator upstairs, and at that point, one of these security guards said to me, freeze. Now,
Barney Fife.
Now,
freeze, Pally.
He's not packing heat.
No.
I'm not packing heat. He's a rent-a-cop, not even wearing a rent-a-cop suit. He's wearing one of those plastic windbreakers.
You don't have to freeze if he doesn't have a gun.
Thank you, Charlie. I called Charlie up immediately. I was so pissed, and I walked right down to the guy and I said, "What is your name?" Because he said, I was taking the elevator to go
give
up.
Give me your badge number.
I was saying that I'm taking the elevator to go upstairs to get my media credentials, that really I wasn't going to do anything wrong.
Right.
And he said, don't make me come up there after you, as my escalator was going up.
Is that when you ran?
No, I just turned around and looked at him, mm-hmm. and then got all the way up on the very top, and I called Charlie on my cell phone, and I said, you know, I have no idea where I am. Some AOL guy let me in, but some, and then I screamed, rent a cop! some rent a cop is trying to get his nut by saying that he's going to arrest me, so what should I do? Just like that. Meanwhile, the guy standing down on the bottom of the elevator, still going into his walkie-talkie.
Right.
One Charlie over.
Well, Roger, man, we're going to need a stun gun. We've got a man here that seems to be under control.
So I come down the escalator, and I explain to the guy, I say, listen, I'm a disc jockey. I just need to get my credential. And at this point, the guy takes my arm and says, sir,
don't touch me.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave the premises. Wow. And at that point, I said, you know, the threat that never works. I do a national radio show.
What's your name?
And he said, congratulations. And then I read his name tag, and I was on the phone with Charlie. His name is Jason Jacobs.
Jason Jacobs, he gave you a hard time.
And I'm a small man with very, very petty behavior.
Well, I guess JJ was a little overzealous, huh?
And JJ, perhaps you should worry on about some of the other things, like hot dog wrappers laying on the floor. Or,
JJ.
Or the fact that maybe children are getting into the NFL experience who are under 12 yet are paying the under 10 price, whatever it is down there. You know what I mean?
Violation.
You know, they're squeezing kids in.
Right.
You know, worry about that. Don't worry about some disc jockey just trying to.
You know something? When you get a situation like that, why don't you look at the guy and go, hey, Jason, why don't you cut my meat?
Okay, now who's this? Here's a camera crew.
All right.
Is this anybody famous?
On Frost. Let me see if I can.
Who's that? Is that anybody, Charlie?
Who are you?
That's a good question. Thanks. Who yelled at you? Did you? Rob, go find out who they are.
Okay.
I mean, they walk by. Everybody's got an effing entourage.
Yeah. Rigo didn't. Rigo had one guy with him. That was it.
This one had cameras and microphones.
Mm-hmm. And there goes, hey, it's funny watching Rob run, isn't it?
Look at Rob run.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a youthful heart attack just about to happen here.
It does now.
I'm sorry. I want to know. I'm going to throw up.
Boom.
I'm going to throw up.
Here he comes back with the news.
Run.
Babe Loffenberg, you want me to get him?
Babe? I'd rather go with a Hawaiian guy.
You cracked me up. I quickly they forget. You're old buddy. But you're right. You're right. Yesterday's news, my friend.
You're right.
Unfortunately, you just can't do that. You know, we've got a job to do. We have to entertain.
We're here for today.
Robbie,
who was that with the entourage?
It was Jesse James.
Jesse James, the guy from...
I'm guessing the outlaw. I don't know. I said to the guy, who is it? He said Jesse James.
Is Jesse James like from Monster Garage or one of those shows? Is that the guy I'm thinking of?
Could be. Because I said, why is he famous?
All right, well, you know, if we have to spend this much time talking about it, we don't want him on the effing show.
I said, why is he famous? He said, I don't know.
Mike, we do want him on the effing show because when we come back, our next guest is going to be the Hawaiian guy.
The guy that gave Rob the macadamia nuts.
Super Bowl Wayne.
The gray-haired guy with the ponytail.
Super Bowl Wayne.
We are a
star-studded.
We are live.
Because you demanded it.
We are live in Houston, and we'll be back right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're guys. Don and Mike.
Right, back from Houston for Super Bowl XXXVIII. A couple of quick updates. During that stop set, Hertz called.
And were they aware of your commentary?
You know, every once in a while, I think no one listens to this show.
So it got back to somebody who got back to somebody who got back to somebody.
Yeah, they found my phone number, and they called, and they apologized. They don't know exactly why both tires blew at the same time.
Did you tell them that there was only one sentence that would make the thing completely right?
What's the sentence?
Mr. Source, your Ferrari will be delivered later on this afternoon.
I don't think that...
Michael Source!
I was happy for the call. We're broadcasting right now live next to Alan Linewand's leather coat.
His oversized leather coat.
He's here. Where are my questions for Alan, our next guest? Alan.
Is Alan going to be a guest on the show?
Yes, he is.
Alan, would you like to slap on the headphones and the microphone here?
Here is our general manager, Alan Linewand.
He's taking off his leather
coat. There's no real need to take that coat off. You won't be staying that long.
Now, Alan, here are the reasons that we're here. We're here because our network, Westwood One, you know, sends us these things. They sell it to advertisers, and it's great. And we're supposed to get guests to come on the show.
Sure.
Thus far, we've had, well, but the fact that you're on shows how...
Big-time guests, right?
Right.
We're having a little issue with that at this particular Super Bowl.
So being as now we have to fill a couple minutes with you because the crazy old guy with the Hawaiian shirt, we don't think he can take a whole segment. just a couple of sample questions I had written down for you. How was your ride in from the airport?
My ride last night?
Yeah.
My name. Very nice.
Very nice. I had a Hertz rental car.
Why did you ask that question?
Why did you ask that question?
Well, because,
by the way, hello, Don.
My Hertz rental car. Hi, Al.
I thought you might have some information because I think we're going on the whole his life is better than ours.
I'm building on that.
Yeah. This is a woe is me.
Can I get more specific on that? Follow up and say, could you please, Alan, describe your ride? Was it in a limo?
Transportation?
Was it a cab? Was it a limousine?
I want to know. Who do you know?
What do you mean?
How do you get this information?
Listen, and this is the bottom line of what we want to know with you.
Was it a limousine, Alan?
Of course it was.
It was a limo, yeah.
Of course it was.
Okay, check one.
Okay. Meanwhile.
Good, I'm glad you asked that.
How is it that you're here? Why are you here? We're here because the network sold it, and we're here doing the show. Why are you here? Why are you in a better hotel than we are in? Why do you have a better car than we have? Why are you here?
You know what? I've asked myself that question all day today. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start asking myself that question right now.
Listen, I know one thing about you. You didn't pay for this trip.
You know that about me.
You didn't pay for this trip. So
I wouldn't be here if I did.
You certainly couldn't be here because you've done such a great job over the last year running the station.
No.
So how is it that you're here? You're here on the company's dime.
I'm actually not here on the company's dime. I'm here as a guest.
You're a guest. Would you like to share who you're a guest of?
One of our fine sponsors.
One of your good friends.
One of my good friends.
I'm a guest of Dan Snyder, Betsy and I.
Oh, my.
You bastard.
Oh, no. What betrayal.
You are sucking the teat of Dan Snyder.
What betrayal we feel.
Mike, I've sucked the teat before with David Modell. I understand that. Oh, and you brought Hedges, too?
Hedges is here, too?
Hedges is here.
And he's staying at the same fancy hotel?
I believe he is, yes. I haven't seen him yet, but...
No,
I did see him on the treadmill this morning. What a sight.
He was on the treadmill?
Oh, yeah.
How are your game tickets?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen him yet.
And how's Steve Johnson like in Houston?
Steve is in Maryland.
Oh,
will you
Steve
be going?
Steve is not here today.
Will you be going to the fancy commissioner's party this evening?
No, I won't be.
Oh, you're not. You don't have
a ticket.
Are you going to the CBS Westwood One party that we've not been invited to?
You have been invited to.
Really, where would the invitation be?
Larry has said you will be there. And I believe he spoke to Charlie.
I spoke to Larry, and Larry said...
You're invited.
Larry said we'd love to have you at the party. Well, there's this little thing that Larry had in his hand that was a printed invitation.
You know what? I never got an invitation, but I'm inviting you. And you.
Me?
And you.
Wow.
Charlie, sorry.
But really...
Rob, wow. So, the bottom line here, and we don't have to make any secret of it, is we are just... sick jealous.
Yeah,
sick jealous about it. We sit here. The one thing we can see from this metal prison that we're doing this broadcast
from, some setup.
The one thing we can see out the window from Radio Row, where we're here with all the other smelly disc jockeys, is your fancy-ass hotel.
That's the landmark we can see. That's the landmark.
And we can see how convenient it is. You're centrally located to everything, aren't you?
I am.
Do you have the use of a limo at your disposal?
So wait a minute. Hold on. You are here on Snyder's dime? I mean, I worked some favors with the Ravens, but I did not get to stay at a hotel like that.
Well, I thought, didn't you work something out with David?
Yeah, I did. It's called, I'm at the Marriott. Oh. I'm in a Marriott that's next to a grocery store.
Oh, geez.
Okay?
Well, that's convenient.
His grocery store.
No, it's not convenient.
If you get hungry.
It's 22 miles away from here. You're at the fancy hotel. And you son of a bitch, you were on Dan Snyder's plane coming down
but
here.
Wait a minute, and I'm bringing up
the rear. You got all the info, don't you?
You were on Dan Snyder's personal plane.
Excuse me, I didn't know that. You were on a private plane?
He didn't tell you that?
He was on the plane that has the Redskins logo on it. His own personal J.O. plane.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
Should I leave now?
We're busting our balls.
So, hold on. Hey, listen, I know that.
I am sick to my stomach.
I know that I got issues with Dan Snyder.
Is that the plane that's the same size as the plane in Stuart Little?
I am flying the plane. Here we go.
I know I got
Alan, I'd like you to be my guest.
I know I got my issues.
I'd like you to stay in my fancy hotel and fly my little plane. Whee!
But here's the thing. You're coming here on Snyder's dime. You're putting us in crack house hotels. Why don't you at least...
Do you know where my hotel is? Alan, we haven't talked about my hotel. You know where?
Oh, you're not staying in the same hotel.
No, I'm not in the same hotel. We're broadcasting from Houston. Do you know where my hotel is? Dallas.
San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
nicer
you're here.
City.
You're here.
You're right about that.
Will you be sitting with the Snyders during the game?
I don't believe so, no. But I don't know where I'm sitting at this point. But I'm not going to be with them.
Was the little guy... on the plane when you flew down?
No.
So it was just you and other dignitaries?
Other important station people?
There were about 11 people on the plane.
11 very fortunate, lucky people.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a little bit of credit. Ken never swung anything like that.
Thank
you. But that's the only credit I'll ever give you.
I appreciate that.
And I'm being a little nice because your lovely wife is sitting here.
Was Bennett Zier on the plane?
No.
Really?
Yeah,
don't lie to me.
Swear to God.
Don't lie to me.
Swear to God.
I know I'm getting too inside here, but nope. I just want to make sure of everybody that
Hedges,
was on the list.
Hedges was on. Did he bring his wife, too?
Yes, he did.
Really? All right. And it was all a couple thing? A lot of couples?
Mostly couples.
Okay.
Swinging couples.
Was there any swinging that went on the plane?
No, but I will tell you a cool story. I was working out this morning.
Nice. Oh, that's a cool story.
With Nellie and Reggie Jackson and Peyton Manning.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what?
Not to make it feel any worse.
I came down this morning waiting for the Hertz guy. waiting after 2:30 in the morning. Who are you waving at?
Jim McClure.
That'll help. Oh, you know, and having
Strap is
and you know
there.
Now it all comes with just having you there grinning makes this thing just that much better.
He's our next.
Hey, what
do
you want? I haven't seen him in 2 years. He shows up right behind.
Well, go have a good time.
Jim McClure, who's also you know hit the lucky train somewhere in his career. You know, I mean, now working with Pam Anderson.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Jesus Christ! I mean, what's wrong with the world? What's wrong? What's wrong?
Everything
with us?
Is upside down.
Everything's totally
everything
upside
is upside down.
Down.
Yeah. He's staying at the nice hotel. He's going to the game. He's going to all the fancy parties.
And I'm staying in a hotel room without even a bathroom.
I'll tell you what. I'll trade paychecks with you. Guys.
All right. Okay. You win.
You want to do that?
Okay. Alan. Ha-ha. Everything's good.
He's so proud of himself. He's going to walk away with Betsy just going, hey, I got them, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw a spitball at his neck.
That's good. Listen, we have to move you out now because we have a more important guest joining us.
Thank you, Alan.
Have a good time. Will we see you at the party tomorrow night?
I thought the party was tonight.
Well, there's one tonight and one tomorrow night.
Well, now which one are we invited to?
Both.
Both.
No, I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
All right.
So what about the party tonight? Where's
There's
this party?
A cocktail party between 5 and 7.
Oh, and our show ends, that is,
so you can't go time.
Our show ends at 6.
Tomorrow night, 7 to midnight.
Where? You know, let me ask you, I'm going to make you a little more uncomfortable. Where are you going to dinner tonight after that? Do you have a special exclusive? What the hell was that?
I think that was Mike and the Mad Dog farted.
Where are you going to dinner tonight?
No plans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's lying.
No.
You're going to the best restaurant in Houston, aren't you, to eat the best food? And you're taking a limo there, aren't you?
I'll get a doggy bag for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Goodbye. Get out. Just get out of here. Get out of here. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
Down line one.
Thanks for coming by.
It's our boss.
Bye-bye. There he is. Bye, Betsy.
Bye, Betsy.
Bye-bye. She's lovely.
She
said don't say anything about to her on the radio. What would I say about you, Betsy? Except you look like Carm Soprano. Mm-hmm. You're wonderful. No, I mean, that's a compliment.
That's right. Absolutely.
It's your husband's the guy that here you go.
I like this guy because this guy brought us, I think he gave us macadamia nuts.
They
were like awesome. I ruined my day. Wait, get a mic. Slap on a microphone there my friend.
Let's say hello to Rob. What is this guy's name?
This is Wayne Lavelle.
Super Bowl Wayne.
Super Bowl Wayne.
Super Bowl Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
God.
Hi. Welcome.
I can't believe we flew all night And I sat outside in a thunderstorm for 2.5 hours and stayed up until 2:30 in the morning so we could do this show. Hi, Wayne. It's great
Wayne.
To see you.
How are you?
How are you?
Aloha to you, too.
Howdy. So are you a... what are you? How did you get up here? Are you a DJ or what?
What do you do, Wayne?
Well, I'm a sports talk show. I'm the most exciting guy on University of Hawaii campus. And I guess I'm basically a cheerleader for everybody that comes around here. I've been to 27 Super Bowls this year.
Wow.
And this year alone? I thought they only played one a year.
Oh, you mean this year? It's
27. That's pretty good, 27 in 1 year. I got to tell you, that's pretty good.
But now, you're on a radio station, KU...
That's the way I feel, too, you know.
KUMU?
KUMU, yeah.
All right, he's bringing
a
card out.
KUMU.
How you doing, Don and Mike?
Hi. Right.
This is...
right here on the island, right here in Houston.
Super Bowl Wayne.
Island.
Super Bowl Wayne, sports director. You know, it sounds to me like you run such a bare bones or radio station. I'm amazed that you are not currently running the Don and Mike show.
That's true.
Wayne,
you guys have been in the business a long time. I can tell that, you know.
We have, Wayne. Wayne, you brought a calendar with what the beautiful women of Hawaii.
Beautiful.
Are you promoting that?
Well,
I'm not promoting it. I'm giving that to you guys.
Thank you.
You know?
So nice.
You can put it in the office, you know, because there is one in there where they got twins, so you can split it, you know. So
Wayne, have you banged any of the women that are in this calendar?
No, I don't do that kind of stuff.
Hey, Wayne.
No, it's too bad.
You know the guy Steve Sable from NFL Films?
Absolutely, I know Steve Sable.
You ever give a thought to maybe he might swing both ways?
I don't know about that.
Have you thought about it? Let's think about it for
a
second.
Look, I went to Hollywood, you know. You know, and there's a lot of queens in Hollywood. And a couple guys say I was one, but I wasn't, you know.
You weren't?
Right. I used to dance on American Bandstand, you know.
Did you really?
Hair, huh. And Hollywood Go-Go and Chivalry and all those.
May I ask, if you don't mind, Wayne, may I ask how young you are, sir? Could I ask that question?
I turned 58 January 15th.
58.
You know, 58.
Thank you, Rob.
But I'm going on 17, you know.
That's
I mean, all
true.
This excitement.
Now, you say
that.
You spend that time on the campus of the University of Hawaii. Is that right?
It's only about 3 blocks from my house, so, you know, you get a lot of chances to go over
so
there.
So do you hang out with the co-eds over there? Is that what you do?
I hang out with June Jones, you know. He tells me what's going on, what kind of plays.
Why is this guy at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, why are you at the Super Bowl?
I mean, I know why we're here. Although
he's Super Bowl Wayne, Don.
I'm rapidly losing focus on that fact.
I tell you, I represent Honolulu, Hawaii. I represent the island of Hawaii. I do a lot of aloha. I'm an ambassador.
Ah, you're an ambassador.
I can hear myself. All right. This is rocking,
you're an
you know?
Ambassador. That's very, very
represent.
Good.
I'm representing Honolulu, and I do a lot of sports talk. I'm basically a super fan, and before I started being a radio, working with Russ Francis over there in Honolulu, you know, an expatriate. I
mean, the tight end, right.
A tight end, you know, for 49ers.
Does he live over there, Wayne? Does he live over there?
Well, he was over there a couple years ago. His father started big wrestling stuff, you know, so I think he's wrestling up and down the coast, you know.
You ever check out Jim Nabors and his macadamia nuts?
I never check him out, but I go to hear some of his concerts, you know. He does a free concert.
Now, what about him? Huh?
I think that, yeah, I used to work for this Liberty House thing there, and he used to come up and he wouldn't leave. He always wanted to sign more shirts and more shirts,
sure.
And he gave me a real good handshake that wasn't the very strongest that I ever
okay.
felt, you know?
Thank you for the answer, sir. We appreciate that. Super Bowl Wayne.
You really did give us a nice gift of those macadamia.
Hey, there are a lot of weird people that come here around Super Bowl. Isn't that right, Don and Mike?
Absolutely.
Yes,
you know, and I guess I fit into that bill. You
do, Wayne, but you're a very nice man.
Now let's compare notes, Wayne. Who's the biggest celebrity you've interviewed during this Super Bowl thus far this year?
I guess it'll have to be Yanni.
Yanni?
Yanni.
You mean the musician.
The musician.
I read that during the opening ceremonies, which were devised by our man Jim Nance, that the opening theme to the Super Bowl, there was a theme written and performed by Yanni.
Well, there you go.
Well, I mean, what can you say? You know, Yanni isn't too bad.
And here's the theme to our show.
I guess that means I'm out, guys.
No. We're not playing out yet. But
listen to this song, Wayne.
Big and bright.
There you go.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
I tell you, deep in the heart of Texas, that means you got to get in the island of the 610 freeway. And whenever you're going anywhere, it's 610. And you're going north, you're going west, you're going east. And I got lost about 25 times on that island.
I tell you,
island.
It's crazy.
Wayne, are you
Mike?
Been drinking at all today? I'm ready to drink right now.
Hey, Mike, I have a question.
Tomorrow
for you.
I celebrate not having a drink for 16 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Right, fantastic.
That doesn't mean I don't take legal medicine.
Right. Well, now, what are you saying there?
I don't know.
Mike, do you think Mark Schlereth would remember us?
He looks different. Man, he's lost weight.
He sure has.
He's off the roids.
Stinky?
Yeah, stinky.
Hey, stinky!
Hey, No, he doesn't. He doesn't know who we are.
Hey, I like you guys. You guys are terrific. I want you to know that. You guys are terrific. Will you come to the Pro Bowl? You know, and I can get you a ticket right to the Pro Bowl on the field.
All right, I'll put a sock in it for a second, Wayne. He didn't recognize us, did he?
Rob, why don't you say?
Ask Rob Stover specifically. Ask if he recognized the two gentlemen.
Just yell it out. Say, hey, Mark Schlereth. This is Don and Mike. These guys used to have you on your show before you became a pretty boy ESPN announcer.
Hey, Mark Schlereth. Mark, this is Don and Mike, and they used to have you on their show before you were a pretty boy on ESPN. Remember? That's Super Bowl Wayne. Thank you.
Good job, Rob.
That's good. That's good. And now, look at, he's trying to still have a business.
You know who he loved? You know who he loved?
Oh, Matt.
No. He loved the character on our show.
Who?
More than any.
He loved Charlie.
Is he? Remember Charlie? Charlie Stewart Stavillack.
No, he is. He's totally, he's going to come by?
Yeah, there
come
you go.
Here he got him.
He's coming
by. Wayne, thank you.
Hey,
thank you, Wayne.
Hey, this Super guy's bigger Wayne. Than me ever.
All right, of
thanks
he
for the macadamia nuts.
Bye, dude.
We were just doing a thing where we were seeing if you remembered us, and I said,
no, I
said
he
if he doesn't remember
guys,
us.
You guys are still on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Jesus yeah. Christ, you look different than when you played. For the Redskins. Up. Yeah, you're just dreamy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what they call me, the dreamy Mark Schlereth.
So, Stinky.
Yes.
Here, well, do your Charlie, because that's what you still like.
You remember that, right?
Oh, I love Charlie. Charlie was my favorite.
Charlie was his favorite.
I remember one time, you're sitting there with, I forgot who you were sitting with. It might have been Bostic, and you were sitting there, and you guys made me, like, on a patio at a golf tournament, do Charlie.
Right.
And these two big guys were making me do Charlie.
It was at one of Mark
Whitman's tournaments.
It was a surprise birthday party for Mark.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and I did that.
So now you're a fancy boy on ESPN.
Well, you know.
Come on,
you are.
What are
you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
Look at you. At least you don't have to sit with Mark Malone, right? He's moved away.
Mark is doing more college games now. Yeah,
right.
He went away from the studio stuff and going to strictly to the college games and that type of thing. So, yeah.
How many Botox sessions have you had?
Can I tell you something? Seriously.
Your face is so chiseled.
You know what? I have the skin of a China porcelain doll. And see, the thing about my skin is when you've grown up in Alaska and you spent 18 years... basically devoid of sunshine, your skin is just like, I mean, it is. I've got, it's like baby bottom spoons. It truly is. So it's very, you know, it's a very coveted thing around the ESPN studios. My skin, I go into makeup and they just look at me and say,
go on out.
Get out.
Get out.
We don't even need you.
You know, it's like when Fonzie used to look in the, remember when Fonzie would look in the mirror
and check himself and go, hey.
All right, Stinky, get out of here. We just want to say hi to you.
Mark Schlereth, congratulations on your success.
Now, where are you guys at? You guys still in D.C. area?
We're everywhere, though. We're syndicated to a bunch of cities that...
We're on in Alaska, aren't we? Yeah. Are we still on in Alaska?
Negative.
No.
We're not on in Alaska anymore?
Not this week.
Well,
oh, don't show them the affiliate list. It's embarrassing. Let's just tell them we're coast to coast.
Well, we are technically coast to coast.
Very much so.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes in the middle.
We're on in Sacramento, California, and we're on in Portland, Maine. And some stations in between.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
All right, Stinky, get out of here.
All right.
We just want to say hi.
Mark Schlereth, good to see you again.
Because if we didn't embarrass you, you would have just kept walking by.
He falls in the category of people that we would scream at to get their attention.
Stinky, do you want a signed picture of us?
Would you like a signed picture of us?
Okay. All right.
He'll be back, Don.
It's 0 for 2.
That's right. Good. Well, we're trying.
We're 0 for 2 giving. No one. No one wants her. No, Wayne will take it.
No,
Wayne
will take it.
Yeah.
And we should explain why Mark Schlereth, formerly of the Redskins and the Broncos, is known as Stinky.
Yeah, why is he? I forgot that story.
Because he went in his pants. Or no, that was.
Not that Matt Elliott told us that story, that's what they used to do at Michigan during college football games.
That they knew it was a good game when he would be so focused that he would just have a big wet spot.
Right.
Or on the
right.
front or the back of his pants.
And doesn't he also, as far as NFL linemen, hold some sort of record for knee operations?
Yeah.
Didn't he have like 14 knee operations or something like that?
Something like that. And how many brain operations?
I'm not sure. I have not seen him on
three, Rob?
You've seen him. That's a transformation.
Yeah, well,
from a guy when
you,
he played, when he looked like the Michelin man, and now you see him sit down.
I didn't have the balls to say it to his face, but I'll say it. What I really thought when he walked up, he's not taking the roids.
Yeah.
Look at him.
He looks amazing.
Yeah. Look at him. I mean, Buzz could beat him up now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, let's not get nuts.
God, he's cute.
Let's not get nuts.
God, you're cute.
God, he's cute.
Really?
And look at that.
That's
look
him.
At that hotel. Look at that hotel. Why must you torment me, Alan Linewand? God. I could throw a rock out the window of this place and throw a rock through his window in his room.
Let's do it.
We're going to have to talk to him also when we get back about hiding behind his wife the way he did, too. That, you know, he knows we're men of honor.
That bastard. Yeah, that's the first thing Carm said. She went, hi, it's great to see you.
Please, don't talk about me.
Don't talk about me.
Don't talk about
that woman is not
oh,
your
aunt. Oh, poor you.
That woman is not your aunt.
So, well, I thought you did very well. You really stood up to their scrutiny.
Especially at the end. I thought when you made the comment about how much money they make, that was touche. Make love to me. Make love to me now. Take me. Take me at the fancy hotel.
In the limo.
Make love to me and then... Let's go to the minibar.
Fantastic. And also, don't tell them about where we're having dinner at the fancy place that they can't come to because they're DJs.
Invite them to the party that we know they can't come to.
That's fantastic.
We got to go get on Dance Night is playing.
I can't believe that. It makes me sick to my stomach.
That is sickening. When we come back, yes. Oh, it's a good thing we're ramped up. Jim Nance, Mr. No Show, is going to be calling in here in a second.
Oh, good.
Now, keep in mind, as we've said, Jim Nance is as of this moment, still a very good friend of ours.
He is.
And is on the show every week picking games. This was the time. We're coming to the Super Bowl, to his city.
There's an outside shot. This will be one of his most difficult tasks.
Oh, yeah.
During the Super Bowl week, being on this show when we get done with it.
I've told a lot of people, this is not going to be a Leah segment.
No.
This is really not going to be a Lisa Remedy King and Queen segment.
But we are going to share with him, much like with Alan Limewad, how we're feeling, which is pretty damn low today.
And because he's not our boss, we can really let him have it.
Absolutely. We will show him our ire.
Besides, what, he can't come by for 10 minutes to be on this cheesy little radio show?
I bet he's going to a good party.
It's good enough. 16 other weeks out of the year.
Just a little red wine, thank you.
But the one week when we're here at his hometown of Houston, Texas. Hey, Jim, how about this? Come on the show live, or we'll talk about what we really think about Houston.
Thanks for ignoring us, Mr. Superstar.
Hey,
Mr. TV Man.
Jim, we won't be ignored. We won't be ignored.
Here we are in our trough. Here we are in our pig slop trough. Just trying to eke through this broadcast.
Super Bowl 38. We're live in Houston. And when we come back, yeah, we'll take on Nance. Right after this. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And I'll say this, those are some sick, sick, sick people. Mentally sick. And I thought it was horrible, disgusting, embarrassing, shameful. It stuck. People are sick when they do something like that. Absolutely friggin' sick. Those are sick people. Sick in the head. They ought to get their ass thrown right out of the stadium.
The Don and Mike Show.
Busted.
No, they're not retarded. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Mike's drinking.
How's everybody doing?
How are you? I just said to Mike, you want to go back and get a drink? He said, yeah.
Yep.
I went back, got a couple of Diet Pepsis.
This here's
I said to Mike, what are you drinking? He held it out for me to smell.
It's a little vodka.
I just
thought, you know, it's free.
Mike, it's Super Bowl.
It's free.
Oh, is the booze free?
Oh, does that change things for you, huh?
Well, maybe a little bit it does.
Yes, it is free, and well, just a sip or two.
Nancy's supposed to join us in a second. We're live at the Super Bowl 38. Yeah, Nance. Okay, whatever. We'll deal with him when he gets here. We keep seeing people that walk by. And the funniest thing about being in this location at the NFL Experience is the guys that walk by like, and okay, we don't like Randy Cross.
Yeah, that's well known.
However, and we didn't, during the commercial, we didn't like goof on him or anything.
Well.
But we did notice that he, in particular, is the type of former athlete that wants to walk around until someone approaches him,
mm-hmm.
and then as soon as someone approaches him, that's when he becomes unapproachable.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And we watched him do this to two or three separate different people.
An art that I believe was perfected by Larry King. I watched Larry King do it at a hockey game one night. It's where you stand there, and then you appear to be aloof as soon as you're recognized.
And then we saw Ice-T go by. And Charlie, I think the problem
then we had
is
a couple of guys from Rochester walk up and greet us and said they're big fans from Rochester, and we hugged them, kissed them with our tongues.
Charlie, I think the problem is that you're just not aggressive enough. Like when Ice-T walked by that other radio show, those guys went jumping. They said, Mr. T, Mr. T, or whatever they said to him. Mr. Cube.
Mr. Cube.
Oh, Ice Cube.
Mr. T would be a copyright infringement.
But anyway, he walked by during the commercials. And what are we going to say to him anyway? You were good in Three Kings?
Three Kings, and I pointed that out. I remembered him from Three Kings.
And Barbershop 1 and 2.
Jim Nance has just moved his time 5 minutes from now.
Ah, of course he has.
Perfect.
And listen, those of you that enjoy the shows where we
do
that.
Of course he has, Nance.
Today might be the day, because Mike's drinking double-fisted.
Candy ass.
Drinking double-fisted at the Super Bowl.
Excuse me.
All right, here we go. I do have some non-Super Bowl stuff, because really the guests that they're offering us now, like for instance, here's a guy I just passed on. Mm-hmm. See the guy walking by?
Yeah, what's
How you doing?
Yeah.
Byron Allen.
Yeah, Byron Allen.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I just gave him the old wave. Hey, you're.
You know, you're very good that way. You're very good the way you point at a celebrity and indicate that you're pleased, but you're not going to have him on the program.
But he's another one walking around looking for it.
Who?
Ramsey. Who is it, Charlie?
He's the quarterback of the Washington Redskins.
Oh, Patrick Ramsey.
Well, I'd like to talk to him.
Yeah, bring him over.
See if he's excited about choking.
Why don't you go see, Charlie? Go ask him. Rob's over there now?
Hi.
Well, Rob's not the right guy for that job.
What the hell's Rob doing? Well, let me call Rob on his cell. Speed dial Robbie here.
I think Rob just got turned down. Rob didn't spend 1/8 of a second there.
Shaking his head now.
I love you.
Okay, I'm ringing Rob's cell now. Is he walking back? Where's he at?
Yeah.
He's coming here right now.
Oh, here he is right now. Oh, hold on.
He's 50 yards away.
Get his phone. Answer it. It's very important.
Hello?
Hey, Rob, it's Don.
Oh, hi, Don. How are you?
How come I feel like that guy in that meeting where they all sit around that wireless thing where they
go, exactly.
Pittsburgh paper, perfect paper, gonna get it. We'll meet and have lunch, click. So what's the deal with Ramsey?
He can't, you're not on the phone anymore.
No, I'm not. Sure he can. Hey, Pat!
He wouldn't budge.
Hey, Patty! Patty! Come on back! Come on back! Be a stand-up guy! Ramsey!
Nah. In his defense, it was his handler.
Well, I don't care.
Yeah,
no. I know you wouldn't.
I don't either.
He's the boss.
I don't care.
For God's sake.
He's the quarterback for the team that Allen pays those millions of dollars for.
Come on. Come on.
For goodness sake. Now, Charlie,
you didn't ask where he was going. He was going to have a private meeting with Allen.
Were you just talking to one of his handlers over there? One of Pat Ramsey's handlers? You know what? All I want to do is ask him, did you come on Snyder's plane? Did you happen to see the lime ones?
Did you see the lime ones? Yeah. That's all we needed to ask
really?
Him, you know.
Well, no.
I mean, we are from Washington, D.C.
Charlie's getting blown off. What happened there?
He's here with his agent and just, I guess, shopping himself.
Uh-huh. Hey, come on. Well, dude, I saw Jerry Maguire. I saw when Rod Tidwell went on the radio shows. Come on by. You want out of D.C.? Come and shop yourself here.
Right, here's another entourage. Another entourage. Oh, that's that same guy.
Jesse James.
Oh, I love this guy's show, though. It's the Monster Garage show. Or is it the motorcycle show?
No, it's not the motorcycle.
Jesse! Don likes you a lot!
Right on. Hey, come here.
Can you come here a second?
No, he just screamed. He come screamed on. Something at us. Yeah. This is what we've been reduced to now.
We're heckling celebrities as they walk through.
Screaming at them as they walk
and
by.
And we're heckling celebrities that aren't even all that well known. Let's be honest.
But I didn't have to get up that time.
This is true.
Pardon me?
Do you want to interview Jesse?
Yes, absolutely.
It'd be wonderful.
Over. But he's got to hurry. We're on a schedule. We have Jim Nance calling us in 2 minutes. Mike, it's an offer.
I like that. You know what? I like what you did there.
That's
I like. You know what? You stood up for us there. I like that. Yes, we're very busy men. We have a tight schedule.
Goddamn right.
Who is this guy? Do you know? Are we going to be able to fake the interview?
No. I've seen the show.
Does anybody know really well who Jesse James is?
I do. I've seen the show. It's on
I want to get excited about it.
It's on either TLC or TLC.
I think it's TLC. Is it called Monster Cycle?
Yes.
Well, what about that chopper show where they build the bikes?
That's it.
And he.
Well, wait a minute. I thought it's the father and the son. That's not the father or the son. It's not.
But this is a guy that makes custom motorcycles. As a matter of fact, he made one.
Well, if I mention that chopper show, is he going to get pissed off because that's his number one competition?
You know what? At least now we have our first question.
All right. Which guy are you?
Is he even coming back?
No, he's not going to come back.
All right. Well, then forget
it. He's not going to come back.
Paris Hilton's father will want to refuse this offer. This is such a great, great story.
Is that the show he's on? Well, that's the show with the father and son. He's not the father or the son.
But it's a show where he does, in fact, customize motorcycles. Because I saw he made a Spider-Man mic.
You know the guy I'm talking about with the big white Fu Manchu mustache?
And they're in commercials. This is another guy that does a similar show. Uh-huh. And I watched one episode where he made a really cool motorcycle for P. Diddy or something. And made it like Spider-Man.
Incidentally, are you still on the motorcycle kick? Would you ever consider a motorcycle? Because I'm getting interested in that, actually.
I will go directly from my wife's funeral to the Harley Davidson dealer. I promise you that I'll spend the amount of time that I need.
Good for you, Don.
Have another drink, Mike.
That was very funny.
The whole time I thought that show American Choppers was about Randy Cross's teeth.
There they are. Where they each week they examine another bicuspid. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hi, Bill.
All right.
Hi, Bill. Hey, were you, hey, Alan, was Patrick Ramsey on your plane? No, he's pretending like he can't hear me.
Was Patrick Ramsey on your airplane?
Everybody in the goddamn arena turns to look. Even knows what's happening.
I'm beginning to perspire.
Paris Hilton. See what you've done? Look at what Mike's doing. Drinking during the show.
Hi, Alan.
You see that?
Sorry.
Have a good time at the Four Seasons, my friend.
It's only my third time. My third time ever.
Have a good time at the game. Things are great at the Holiday Inn by Albertson.
Couldn't be a better broadcast.
Paris and Jim Nance, where the hell is he? He's late to call in.
So he's stiffing us.
He's late to call in to say that he's not going to be able to come by to be on the show.
We're hurt. We're wounded.
He's with his agent.
Paris Hilton's
Is it hot in here?
Would you stop asking
It seems very warm.
It's not.
Woo!
Would you stop asking
Well, I'll
that?
Tell you something. I feel like it's about 98 degrees in here. Maybe it's the vodka.
Maybe. Although you did ask before that.
Yeah, it just seems a little humid. And I'm on antibiotics.
That's what it is.
I'm not going to be... I might not make it through the show.
Okay, well, let's make it a good one.
I will.
Let's make it a good one.
Sorry, I did. Voila.
Paris Hilton.
Michael Mara.
Thank you.
Paris Hilton's father.
Yes.
Well, we're going to refuse this offer. Now, you remember the guy that boned Paris Hilton in the elevator? Or not the elevator, but on the internet?
Rick Solomon.
I've got his name. Rick Solomon.
Yeah.
Okay. He is suing Paris Hilton.
He was at a party with her.
He is suing Paris Hilton and their family. He only wants Paris Hilton's dad to agree to allow him to show the sex video on pay-per-view.
That's what Rick Solomon wants to do?
That's fair.
That's right.
So, I mean, he's cemented his reputation as scum.
See, well, he's already sued them.
Internet sex or so.
Right. He's already sued the Hilton family. Mm-hmm. So now when he's come back and said, hey, you want to make this nasty lawsuit go away? That tape that was on the internet?
Right.
You just let me put it on pay-per-view one time, and that's it. The Hilton family say, eat my cheese.
Do you know what I heard about the Hilton family? They actually own one of the hotels that we're not staying at.
Oh, Nance is on the phone? Oh, all right.
Nance. All right, here we go.
Get ready.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello. Welcome to Crossing Over with John Edward. I'm Don. This is my friend, my partner, my buddy Mike, and we're joined today by a dead man, Jim Nance. We're speaking to the ghost of Jim Nance.
Well, thank you for that warm introduction.
What part of your city are you in right now?
I'm right at the threshold of walking into the stadium.
Oh, you're at the stadium.
I'm at the stadium. I'm not in the stadium, but I'm a few paces outside of it.
Good, you're close to my hotel. Stop by Albertson's and pick me up some coffee.
How wounded are we, Don? I
what is the deal? What are you talking about?
How hurt are we?
Here's the deal, Jim. You know, we only get to see you, once a year? We have you on the show, and you have said to us before, Houston is your town. Houston is your city. When we come here, we are going to be shown the time of our lives. We come here. Oh, excuse me, Jim. A band is going.
No, it's a motorcycle. Jim, they're driving a motorcycle through the Houston Convention Center.
Listen, Nancy, here's the deal. We're in your hometown. You're calling the Super Bowl in your hometown on Sunday.
We so wanted to see you in person, Jim.
And all we
still have time, guys.
We still have a phone. There's no way you're making it to the convention center by 6.
Oh,
no way.
And so I thought you were talking about like hanging out after the show. I'm sorry. I thought we were closer than just, you know, walking down there to do it live
right,
at first.
You
I thought like you're talking
listen,
dinner.
If you want to play chicken, I'll play chicken. Jim?
I should have come down there and collect my check for having won the regular season competition.
Jim, we left that back in Washington.
Okay.
Jim, what night would you like to go out with us, tonight or tomorrow night?
I would love to go out this Thursday. What day is today? Oh, it's Friday. Oh, man.
Jim, listen.
Sorry, guys.
Jim. You know what you're doing? You're big-timing us.
You know what I've been up to this week, because it's all the town is a buzz about, is this Monday night opening ceremony event that I worked on for 4 years.
Let me tell you, Jim, we understand where we are.
You are. Look what we're doing here. We are right now about to go rehearse some of the ceremony that takes place on the field that I'm involved in. You think that Beyonce is singing the national anthem? You're wrong. Okay.
You're singing the national anthem?
I could be.
Wow.
Could they
very
said it was
exciting.
A comedy Houstonian?
Well, Jim, all
I
know
that wouldn't include me. But anyway,
expected,
I've been working on this TV show that I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to get a free plug in here for. Have you heard about my opening ceremony event on Monday here?
I read about it on the Continental aircraft that I...
The commissioner has been quoted, widely quoted, as saying it's all that anybody's been talking about. So anyway, I just struck a deal. It's going to be on local here tomorrow on our CBS affiliate, but it's also going to be on nationwide 10 p.m. tomorrow night on the NFL Network.
Wow,
tomorrow night, it's a beautiful piece of programming. Worked on it for 4 years. Yanni is there weaving
Yanni.
His magic throughout the show.
Bucks.
Do not make fun of Yanni.
I've got all his albums.
He's awesome.
He
is incredible. And when you have the live integration of Yanni with the videos playing on the giant screens above him, with the NFL Films footage above him, it's very powerful stuff. Well, as one executive told me from NFL Films, it was the greatest single NFL Films piece he'd ever seen in one case.
Are you wearing your tiny fedora right now that you wore at that cold game up in New England?
What was tiny about it?
Well, maybe it's your head.
I took it off the head of a former NFL linebacker, so I doubt that. I doubt that it was small for me.
Jim, if we can look backwards a little bit, I'd like to ask you about your prediction that I believe it was 400 people at the New England playoff game were going to die of exposure. Would you like to revisit that?
Oh.
And would you like to retract that statement that you made?
You guys, you know, they did a great job up there keeping that story out of the newspapers.
Back to the fedora, though.
And you were watching, weren't you, both of you, about to see if I was going to explore that on the air.
Yes,
I remember there was like a $1,000 offer if I broached that.
Right, if you brought it up, and of course you didn't. Did the fedora mess up your hair, Jim?
Well, what happened with the fedora, which has been absolutely the most remarkable piece of wardrobe I've ever worn in 20 years on the network.
Wild.
I mean, it's all people are talking about. And the polls are closed now, and 98% of America loved it.
It's hard to hate you big dummy, but we're in your town.
We were out there in this wet snow with the wind blowing, and we've been out there 3 or 4 hours before the show.
Come on,
and I was just soaking and freezing, and there was Ed Reynolds, former NFL linebacker for the New England Patriots, that said, "Hey, Ed, that hat you're wearing." I said, I got a lot of cash. I'd like to buy it. He said, what are you talking about? I want to wear it on the air. He says, you can borrow it. I said, what are you going to wear? He said, it doesn't matter. I want to get him a couple of CBS hats. I'll wear Ed Reynolds' hat. And it's the most, being on with you guys, it's probably the most feedback I've ever gotten about anything.
God, you are like Benadryl. I swear to God, you are like Benadryl. Just slow down, Jim. Slow down. Slow down. Jimmy, is there going to be any chance that we get any FaceTime with you while we're down here?
Or are you coming to the game?
I mean, off the radio?
Coming
to the game. Jim, I was thinking more intimate. Something tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow
afternoon?
I'd like to
be scared. You're talking about FaceTime and intimate moments.
I'd like to invite you out here. On national radio right now, Jim, I'd like to invite you out to my hotel for some cheese puffs.
Jim, let's take a sauna. Well, whatever, tomorrow. Jim, you drink, don't you?
Not this week.
Come on, Jim.
No, you can have a little Jesus.
Right, have some Jesus juice with a beautiful meal. Hey, did you hear that? That Michael Jackson calls wine Jesus juice.
I did not know that.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, did you just use me as a prop to get, you know, ask me if I drank to get to the Michael Jackson story? What were you trying to probe for?
I'm just trying to fill time.
Jim, how much sleep are you getting this week?
I just came off of an all-nighter, so you can probably hear it in my voice. I mean, this is crazy.
You sound awful.
Not an all-nighter out partying, thank you guys. No, I was out editing the final, you know, posted version of the opening ceremony here that, again, will be televised tomorrow.
Hope you don't screw up the game on Sunday.
I hope not. I'm not worried about it. I'm the most fulfilled guy in the world. Monday night was the greatest dream come true for me ever in broadcasting.
Really, more than being on the show right now?
After this, it's all gravy. If I retired on Monday, I'd retire a happy guy.
So we can break this news that Jim Nance is retiring on Monday?
I'm thinking about it.
And would this be your high point of the week, talking to us on our show, Jim?
Be second to the opening ceremony, but you know, I don't know what to do after Monday night. I mean, it's now you think I'm being facetious, but
Jim, I'd bag the rehearsal and go back to your hotel and get some sleep. Or do I sound like I need some sleep? You have a home here, correct?
I do.
Sleep in your own bed, Jim. Get some rest.
Whose bed do you think I've been sleeping in?
Okay, well, I'm just, you need a nap. You need a nap, Jim.
Jimmy, does your jaw ever get tired?
You know, I'm a reticent man. Man, a few words.
I know. You know, we just wanted to say...
Brevity is the soul of all comedy.
Well, I guess we'll wait. I guess we'll have to wait to see you another time, Jim.
So this is all about me snubbing you two, huh?
Yes, it is. You figured that out, didn't you?
And Jim, let me just say...
I'm really now starting to get it. It took me a long time. You guys are really, really hurt and bruised.
We're bitter. We're bitter. And
we
are.
You bet.
And we're petty and we're vindictive and all those
things. You are all of the above. And I...
Let me do this.
I'm a guy that does not like to let bad feelings linger. I apologize. I'm not sure what for. I mean, I was just on there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but we wanted to see it in person.
I got you.
Will you shed tears?
Should I blame Melissa from my office for this one?
Yes. Blame somebody.
All right, Jimmy. Listen.
The letters, they're really upset I didn't come down in person.
You're on our list, but thanks for taking.
I was down there one morning. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday.
Right. Tuesday or Wednesday morning. We were back in Washington.
Good luck calling the game and the pregame and all that wonderful stuff.
Oh man, what are you leaving
the game?
Thanks. Get bent.
What are you tomorrow? What are you guys out of here?
Pound sand, Jim.
Tomorrow. Jim, we love you. You know that.
Step off, Jimmy.
Now I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do the show.
Yeah, hang up on him now. Really, hang up on him.
Really down about this.
Hang up on him. It's the only way he'll learn anything.
Jim Nance from CBS Sports.
Lick it.
Lick it. Grab it. Touch it.
Now, here you go. Here's my man. What's up? Jesse, what's up? How are you?
I'm cool.
You're fantastic. What are you doing here?
Making money.
You promoting?
Getting paid by AOL.
Oh, AOL paid you to be here?
We're having a discussion about you. Mike and I were having a discussion. Did you make the bike, the Spider-Man bike?
Hell no.
Oh, you didn't?
I told you.
All right, well, thanks for being on the show.
I only build bikes you can ride.
I'm mixed up.
You're mixed up.
You're the guy, are you the guy that, with your dad?
No.
God.
I think this is, you know, I don't know which is better.
No, I have this TV show on a Discovery Channel called Monster Garage.
I thought it was
Monster Garage.
And I own this little motorcycle shop in Long Beach called West Coast Choppers.
That's fantastic. So you're not on Trading Spaces?
No.
No. I've seen you on TV and I like you. I'm sorry we dragged you over here. Really.
It was embarrassing. I had to
go get coffee first.
Is this your bike here? Did you build this?
That one's for AOL, and then he has a picture of one I did for Ty Law's bikes downstairs too. So
And now, when you make that comment seriously about the bikes you can ride, what does that mean? What is that? You mean the other guys? They don't make bikes you can ride, or
those guys are fags.
Hey, there you go.
there
you go.
That's a gem.
You know, I'm trying to build motorcycles. They're trying to build spaceships, and you know, there's a lot of people that like that kind of stuff.
I know. Hold on. I know it. You were on Letterman, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. See, I know you.
I crossed 8th Avenue at 168 miles an hour.
Okay.
I saw that.
Okay. I knew.
And then got shut down by the city of New York.
Yes. Right? All right. I knew you.
Now we're back on track.
Here we go. Would you like an autographed picture of us?
So let me guess, you guys do like a remote broadcast so you can all get a free trip to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but we don't even get to go to the game.
No, I leave tomorrow.
Yeah, there's actually a game?
There's a game.
Yeah, yes. When tomorrow. Is it? I didn't hear about it.
I think it's Sunday afternoon.
Would you like an autographed picture of us? Take a look at that, Mike. That's from a digital camera.
Man,
where are you guys
nice.
From?
Washington, D.C.
Would you like an
But we're all
picture?
Over the country.
No, I don't want that picture.
Okay. We're 0 for 3. Jesse James, thank you very much.
Thanks
thank
for coming
you.
By, dude.
Thanks for coming
Thanks
on
for coming
show.
Back. Thank you very much for coming back.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, whatever.
That's good.
Thank you.
Oh, did your
that
back.
Was, you know what? That was entirely worthwhile.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. I am sweating. I am really sweating.
You are Albert Brooks in broadcast news.
Wow. I am sweating. I don't know why.
Have another drink. Okay, this has become a very awkward Super Bowl show.
You know, that was a delightfully awkward, wonderful segment, I thought.
Yeah. I would say that this has probably been the best, worst Super Bowl show that we've ever done.
I could not agree more.
And as far as I'm concerned now, unless they dig up Vince Lombardi and he comes walking up, F the rest of them. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you one thing. I know you're planning a little segment on the show today, and I'm going to bet right now that I'll be sweating through the shirt.
I know you are, because it's trust me, it's perfect. It's the perfect energy for today. It's the perfect everything for today, for the whole NFL shoving up here.
Guys, we got Yanni. I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a great show.
Corporate sponsors, but...
I think the best part of the show, though, we have a high point, is you... telling Jim Nantz to get bent.
Hey, hold on a second. Here goes
Jim
the new guy.
Gray. What, who's here?
Hey, Jim Gray.
Hey,
Jim Gray.
This is what we need.
Here you go, Jim Gray.
Hey,
cheers, Jim.
Now. Yeah, turn Jim's microphone on.
They asked me to come on. You don't put on the microphone.
Jim, there. Good to see you. Now,
how are you, Jim?
Since we've seen Jim Gray the last of the Final Four.
Are we going to fight today, guys?
We're not going to fight.
Okay, hey, Rob, can you give me a towel?
Because, Jim, we're going to give you some of that old-fashioned respect and vindication.
Oh, it's a nice day with Don and Mike.
You know, now listen, come on. The whole Pete Rose thing, how sweet did you feel when that bastard finally came out?
Well... You know, I wasn't doing anything other than my job that night.
I know, so. You were just asking him
right,
questions.
Right, and it's no different than you guys or Bob Costas or any number of writers and Barbara Walters and everybody had done for 10 years, and he reacted that way that night. So.
Are you surprised at the reaction, the backlash that the admission of betting on baseball has got? Did you think it would happen like that?
Or I'm
do you
not think people surprised would say, at the reaction of the American people at anything, and I have been
on both
sides.
But I mean, really, what did you think? Because I really would have thought, hey, he finally admits to it. People would say, hey, give him a free pass. It's gone the opposite way, where people are like, hey, you BS'd us for 14 years. You
Mike,
know?
You know how this thing goes. People don't like being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
People don't, you know, there were a lot of people out there who held out a glimmer of hope that Pete was telling the truth and that John Dowd and Bart Giamani and Faye Vincent and all these highly respected, highly esteemed people who did brilliant work were wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was a fallacy to put it in their minds, but Pete created that fallacy. Right. So all these guys thought maybe Pete's telling the truth. Now they're all in despair because we have a blind faith in our country. If someone can hit a baseball or someone can, you know, catch a football or whatever the circumstance may be. And now he's exposed himself. He's an admitted liar now.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a proven liar before. Now he's an admitted liar. Throw that in with convicted felon, and, you know, you got quite a combination there. And
I sounds like my resume.
I don't think that the American public, you cannot fool the American public.
Here's the thing, in a nutshell. So they're at the All-Star game, and Jim's got the balls to say to Pete Rose, you know, they still say you bet on baseball. Pete Rose shuts him out, makes Jim look bad on TV.
Well,
it's explained to
it
me.
It was blown out of proportion, I thought, I think they made it out to be worse than it was. I mean, he was asking a question.
But it's explained to me that, Jim, you're like walking through airports and stuff, and people are coming up to you and saying, hey, F you, and what's your problem?
Well,
that's I mean, look, the loudest voices always win. So when there is somebody who's angry and says something, or they call into radio, or they write the editors, you're not hearing from all the people who are happy. You don't hear about the nice letters that were sent. You hear about the guy who accosts you somewhere and somebody else sees it, then gets on talk radio or gets in a newspaper. You don't hear about all the good instances where somebody comes up and says, you know something, I think that was okay. I like that. I think that was right.
Was that tough for you, though? Was that a tough time for you when that happened, when all that went down with Pete Rose?
Well, it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that I would wish on anybody, but I'm a better person for having gone through it, and it was a good experience. I wouldn't want anybody else to have to try and to deal with that. I don't say that in a way that anybody should be sympathetic, but it teaches you a lot about yourself, teaches you a lot about others, and it was a good experience to have gone through. And I felt that way before Pete came out with this book. So, you know, look.
But now the bottom line is, you know, you said what a lot of people thought, and you were right. And
but I'm not
wrong.
Getting into all that, because it's never been me against Pete Rose, Don. It really hasn't. It's always been Pete against Major League Baseball.
I understand, but you stood up for everybody else that wanted to say that to him. You know, and don't you feel this way about him? Just say, okay, listen, you dope. You bet on baseball. You lied about it. Just admit it. America will probably embrace you anyway.
If we'd done that early on, it would have been
absolutely
a different
situation. We buried Richard Nixon, a hero in this country. Mm-hmm. They had a 21-gun salute. Right. You know, everybody showed. We can certainly get over Pete Rose betting baseball, but right. here's the problem. He is insistent upon saying he hurt nobody but himself. Mm-hmm. Tell that to John Dowd and his family, what he's been through, the abuse.
This is
tell
his
that,
investigator,
tell that,
right?
Tell that to Faye Vincent. Tell that to the Giamatti family. Tell that to all those fine people at Major League Baseball. There was no conspiracy against this guy. Pete Rose was loved by baseball, loved in this country. He had tremendous athletic achievement. So for him to say that, and I'm at the tail end of that, for him to say that it hasn't affected anybody other than himself, what about his kid?
Right.
And the cat calls that he's got. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And really,
this
guy
has
very little remorse right now.
Fundamental inability to tell the truth, and the American public now can see that, and they can judge it for what it is.
Well,
instead of being mad at the people who found out the information, he did it all to himself.
My guy, there you go, Tiger. There you go. So now this Super Bowl, you got to be on the top of the world, right? I mean, your peers have to be coming up to you, maybe in private, not in public, just going, you know, okay, the good guys won one.
Don, a lot of them supported me before this. They did.
Incidentally, I didn't.
I know you did.
I didn't.
Well, I've always considered you to be one of those ones who really couldn't think straight. And I never lashed out at you all like you all lashed out, but I understand what you do.
But I'm with you now, though. Now that you're
my guy,
on,
win or tie.
That's it.
Okay.
But inside the industry, a lot of your friends, you got a lot of support?
Yeah, and the smart ones. I don't mean that disrespectfully.
Of course
you
don't.
You know, they were good to me. You know, a lot of people wrote some very nice things when it happened, that he was just doing his job. And now, you know, it's like I went to bed that Thursday night, and then the galleys came out, Sports Illustrated on Friday, or wherever it came out, ABC.
Right.
And all of a sudden, that guy who was an idiot 4.5 years ago, they all think I'm smart now. So there's an overreaction this way, like there was an overreaction that way.
Well, so
I'm no different than I was back then. It's just that people see it differently, and I'm glad they see it differently.
Yeah,
because,
ride the smart way. You know, make it the end of the summer. Be the smart guy.
I'm brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
You didn't know that, Don?
You are highly brilliant.
Mike knew it.
I knew it all along, Jim.
I'm a genius.
You are highly
Bill
brilliant.
Belichick this week.
Absolutely.
I'm just kidding.
How are your hotel accommodations? I'm just making a conversation. I'm wondering, are you in a nice
service,
hotel?
Great, wonderful hotel.
You have room service?
Oh,
you have
room service?
Yeah,
room
we don't.
Put me down on the good list.
Mm-hmm. Steve Sable from NFL Films.
What about him?
I'm just conducting a survey today. Have you ever thought about him, you know, maybe, you know, hitting from both sides of the plate?
I've never thought of Steve Sable from hitting both sides of the plate.
All right, well, listen.
However, seen Steve Sable play golf with his shirt off.
Question answered.
There you go.
Question you answered.
But I don't believe that. No, don't put me in that group.
No,
I think
you.
That, well, I don't, I, whatever, that group. I don't even know what we're talking about.
That group includes the people at this table.
You're a smart man, Jim. You know exactly what we're talking about.
What is it you're talking about? I like Steve Sable.
He's a good guy.
Do you
like Ed Sable?
Fine man.
How
like
much do you
NFL
like
films? A
Jim,
lot.
We have to break. We do
is that
like
enough
you.
Of me?
Yes.
Never.
But we did want you to come on so that we could say what everybody else has said, that you were right about Pete Rose, and you really got dicked around for a long time. You know, NBC crapped on you?
Oh, no, 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 no. Nope. I know you got to go to break, Mike. Let's clear that up.
No.
If that's what you think, Don,
right.
Dick Ebersol,
I'm Mike.
Was beyond belief, Mike. I know who you are.
No, that's Don.
Whoever it is.
Right.
So you didn't, I'm looking
at both
of
you. So you didn't
Dick Ebersol was beyond belief. He was the corporate model of how a guy should treat an employee. He was wonderful. Tommy Roy, Eddie Faberschaw, David Neal, all the people that I worked with there, they were sensational. Bob Costas was a terrific colleague. Joe Morgan, he didn't pick sides. He could have picked his teammate. Instead, he went with his colleague, which was me. So that's not, no, they didn't cry. I did two more. I did the Olympics in Sydney. I did baseball that year. I finished up. I did the three more NBA finals.
Very true. You know, I forgot that. I forgot
you
did that.
You guys just read all this stuff and
you
believe it.
Well, you know, the thing is, you hear that and then you see that I turn on ESPN. They're on ESPN.
Yeah, no, that was, none of that was true.
Oh, all right. All right, well, good seeing you.
Jim Gray, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Nice to be with you, too.
It is always a
pleasure. Are you Mike?
I'm Mike. This
and you're
is Don.
Mike.
I'm Don.
And you're Rob.
That's right. No, he remembers
John,
Rob.
Scott.
Buzz.
Buzz.
We
dinner.
Love Buzz. Hey, Buzz, right. You know how to speak? You don't let Buzz speak?
Would you like an autograph picture of us?
Please.
Hey, the
really,
first
you're
one.
Kidding. You're
the
kidding.
First acceptance.
No, nah, forget it. Don't give it to him.
Now I can't have it. I got to frame that and put that up.
Jim, you are a good guy,
yes,
and we
are.
Do like your work. And you keep doing what you do.
Yeah, yeah. We need stuff. We need people like you in this business, and that's a sincere compliment.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Keep
thank
doing
you.
What you do.
It. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Jim Gray,
we'll
get out of here. We're late. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let me have Dick for $100.
All right. Dick is styling moose.
Carl.
Nexus Pro Formula 7000.
Carl, you are on the board. Let's go back to Dick for $200.
All right. True or false? Dick can affect the weather according to his mood.
Pat.
True.
It is true.
Right now, let's pause for this commercial.
The Don and Mike Show. They will do you well, Don and Mike.
We're back live at Super Bowl XXXVIII in Houston. Right now, we're staring at Michael Wilbon from the Washington Post and PTI.
A guy that always seems to get better flight accommodations than we do. Remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that one? I've always resented him. Always resented him, very seriously.
You know, who am I to say? But, boy, is he puffy.
I mean, just looking at him. And the sign, and here's the sign of a true puffy guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean like Sean Puffy Combs.
Right,
no.
I understand. You're saying a little puffy.
When you're wearing the velour jogging suit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Here's the deal.
Very fashionable.
Go all the way with it. Don't wear jeans and then the velour jogging top.
That's right.
Yeah, but I've always had problems with those pants. Riding up my ass.
Maybe that's the problem he has. Listen, we have a short break here because we went so long in our last break. We're going
to
be talking in our funny voices for a second.
Yes. Listen to this. Yes.
So bear with us. Joining us now on the Don and Mike Show is David Geffen. Not the David Geffen. No, that's not you. No, that's the wrong name.
All right, let's see if we get the right card here.
Let's get the right name, for goodness sakes.
He's going to write down
the... Give the microphone. Just tell us, what's your name, sir?
Can we turn on the microphone, please?
Jesus. Here, he's on. Okay, Patrick Flanche.
Patrick, how are you?
Patrick. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you for inviting me. Right
there.
I detect an accent. You are from Italy?
Switzerland. French part of Switzerland.
Switzerland. Wonderful chocolate. Great watches.
Absolutely.
Over there, yes.
And
very
now
Italian.
That's so wonderful.
You have made the glow-in-the-dark tickets for the Super Bowl this year. How did you come up with this idea, sir?
So the idea was to create a first kickoff application for Bright.
May I see?
And
we met
the NFL back in June, and they have this long-standing history of using cutting-edge technology for tickets and everything.
I have to tell you, the tickets are lovely.
Are they gorgeous?
They're beautiful. Did you do the artwork also?
No, the artwork was done by the NFL, and the idea is to create, you know, a collectible, a unique product for...
So that people would be able to save their tickets and perhaps sell them
for
money.
Right, it's a big collectible after the game, sure. and it helps also, you know, before the game for people who want to be at the game to be careful.
The counterfeiters. Let's talk about the counterfeiters for a moment. What do you do to ensure that tickets are legitimate? Before purchasing, you should see the person, right, that you're buying the ticket from. Make sure that it has the high quality image of downtown Houston, which incidentally is lovely.
It is a beautiful skyline that we're looking at right out here, and in downtown Houston. So is this does this aid you in preventing counterfeiters to...
Mike, you expose the ticket to light, and it charges it up, like with an inside built-in battery.
And that the number one reason for this would be preventing counterfeiters?
That's one of the reasons. It's to create a great collectible. It's the first time in 38 Super Bowl that they are using luminescent technology. Mm. And that will help. They have the problem. They don't have any problem to see if it's a real or a wrong ticket at the gate. It's really to help people not buy $1,000 or wrong
ticket. Would be, if you don't mind me asking, what would be the cost per ticket for one of these tickets that you're going to give away?
Well, they sell them for $500.
Of course,
the right
value. Of course.
It's a very small part.
Of course,
It's a very small part.
Yes.
It's a small part, but it's a small part.
So the tickets themselves don't cost a great deal of money.
Absolutely. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Penny. Then tell us something. We are doing a show. We're always talking about how to get in on the bottom floor or something. A great money-making pyramid scheme.
How does, what
like
affects
that.
Your bottom line? What makes you the most possible money that you can make?
How'd you possibly come up with this? What's it cost? Like 70 cents for one of these tickets, and you sell it for $500? That's a markup of 5,000.
So yeah, that's
more than that. More than that, right, Robert?
That would be like 5,000%.
5,000%.
That's good.
The thing is, Breitech is not getting the $499.
Your company, Breitech, is not getting the money?
No, not getting money for the ticket. But it's a great kicker for us, obviously.
Are there any products that Breitech creates that perhaps affect the bottom line a little more, my friend?
Yeah, basically, just after the Super Bowl, Breitech will be available nationwide at Staples.
Ooh.
So that's our first touchdown.
There so you did go. You do?
Yeah? Touchdown
hey, that was
for you.
Did you... Are you doing this on spec with the NFL then?
So we presented our technology and we just delivered them the sheet and they did the print on it directly. Breitech is basically the world's first night luminescent photographic paper.
So in essence, the NFL's not paying for this because you're getting free advertising.
Oh, no, they are paying. No, they're
good.
Paying.
Good
they're
for you.
Way to pay. Always make them pay.
Rule number one on this show is capitalism.
Well,
and we're for capitalism.
I can tell you it was great to work with the NFL. They were wonderful. They wanted the technology right away. You know, it took me 5 minutes to show them comps, and 10 minutes after, we had the design.
Wow.
That
tell
was
me,
back
where,
in June.
Where are you staying? The Line Wands are staying at the Four Seasons. Where are you staying in town?
Oh, we're staying not too far from here. Yeah. Nice little region.
He's a smart man. He's not going to reveal the secret.
He already said it's the region. The Hyatt. Is
the Hyatt
region?
Right.
Nice.
It's a beautiful hotel. Lovely, nice. Lovely. And the hotels are lovely in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful property.
They are smaller, but they're lovely.
Smaller and lovely.
Beautiful
yes.
country.
One final question.
Go ahead, Don.
Swiss. Well, as a people, why always so neutral, the Swiss? Why always...
Excellent question. I think a historical... The question, I might say, that my friend asked you can be put in some sort of a... historical perspective, as far as that's the neutrality of Switzerland. Could you comment on that, please?
Well, I've left Switzerland 4 years ago to come in Massachusetts to launch Breitech, so I've lost a little bit of the track record. But, you know, it's such a small country that has so much influence all around the country. Right now it works very well. It has a lot of advantage, obviously, for people to come in Switzerland.
Do you carry a Swiss Army knife?
Yes,
very
I
good.
Do.
Excellent.
Why are the watches so much better? Why are the watches so much better?
Well, they take the time to do the watches they want to do with the technology they do, and they have a long-standing history of being good in that.
The time.
I'd like to point out, I purchased today...
At retail?
It was just 40% off, so... I purchased a piece of luggage, and I'd like to share that with you, if you'll notice... That is the Swiss logo. This is a Swiss Army piece of luggage that I bought today. And I got an excellent price, and I find it to be a lovely piece of luggage.
Thank you.
That's it. Wonderful.
What are your feelings on Swiss steak?
On the Swiss?
Swiss steak.
Swiss Miss Instant Cocoa.
I missed this part.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much for interest in
and congratulations with the product.
Would you like an autographed picture of us? Do you remember the month?
I would love to. Is it luminescent?
It's not luminescent. Maybe
we
can
get
it.
Could you do that?
No, we can't. All right.
We will not give that.
Thank you again for coming on the show.
Pleasure. Thank
you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Congratulations.
Goodbye.
That's a great idea.
That's the technology cutting edge here at the NFL at the Super Bowl. It's cutting edge technology that they're all caring about.
There he is. This is what's going.
And I will tell you that you and I both deserve the most credit for not laughing our asses off.
Yes.
I had to look away 8 times in a row.
It's a lot easier to do it on the telephone than it is in person.
Yeah.
Is that a Baldwin? Where? Right there? Is that a bald one?
Where?
Second from the guy who's waving?
Where?
Who are you? Who is that? Is that anybody?
No, it's not anybody. Why anyway. Are we waving?
He's coming anyway.
What did you just do to us? What did you just do?
I just looked. I don't know who this dude is.
Who is it?
I don't know who he is, but he's coming over here.
Let's find out.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how are you, man?
How you doing?
How's it going?
What's up?
Good.
How are you?
What's up?
Good to see you.
What the hell is this? What is it?
Ultimate Sports Adventure. Two guys in a monster RV on the greatest road trip.
Yeah, no thanks.
No. We thought you were somebody.
Don't get too comfortable with that headset, pal. Thanks. But here's a calendar for you.
Would you like a Hawaiian calendar?
Please enjoy it.
Would you like a macadamia nut? All right. Those are fantastic.
They're delicious.
Have an exquisite
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was wonderful. You can keep that if you wish.
You want a picture of us?
Would you like a picture of us? Yes.
He's
Rob, sign it for him, please. What's your name, sir?
Bill Gordon.
Phil Gordon. Phil Gordon, that's it.
Phil Gordon. And for those of you, we've not done a good job of explaining what's happened. Phil walked by and looked this way, and I shot him a wave, and he gave me the wave like, you want me on the show?
Why don't you tell him the truth? You thought the other guy that he was with was a Baldwin.
What was wrong?
What type of stroke were you having?
You thought what?
What, Phil?
Oh, you recognize me from Celebrity Poker.
Yes, Phil is a poker player.
You're on Celebrity Poker?
He's the host of Bravo's.
He is the host of Bravo's Celebrity Poker Showdown.
Mm-hmm. Really?
This is a player.
Yeah, right.
I just read the Ultimate Sports Adventure thing. And this is Phil Gordon.
Yeah.
I've seen him.
Yeah, me too. Nice meeting you.
Very nice meeting you.
See you later.
When is the Bravo Celebrity Poker Showdown? When's it on?
It's on Bravo Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock.
Tuesdays at 9 o'clock.
Excellent.
Thank you, Phil.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you, Phil.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Is he one of the Queer Eye guys?
No. It's Phil Gordon. He's the host of Bravo Celebrity Poker Showdown.
Rob,
you think say that when just when he's out of your shot?
It's all about timing.
Or not quite.
Or not quite. Oh, my God.
Oh, we're making friends.
We're making memories.
You want to just stare at Wilbon for a second?
Yeah.
If we all just stare at him for a second, because he's made direct eye contact with me a couple of times.
He knows who we are.
Yeah. I like Michael Wilbon.
I'd like to have him on the show.
So would I.
Well, why is he on the other show? He's been on the other show for 10 minutes.
Hours.
Why isn't he on our show?
I don't know why he's not on our show, but I'm going to tell
you. Oh, my God. Did you see the right who's over there?
I saw Michael Hughes is there.
It's another Muckety Mike. Oh, no.
It's all the Infinity guys that are here staying at better hotels than us.
They're all here.
Come on, get out of here, you guys. Did you fly
on the plane, too?
You're bringing us down.
You didn't fly? He drove. He's lying. He flew on the plane, too.
Of course he did.
We're getting Eston and all the Muckety Mucks get to fly on the plane.
Yeah, we are. Now, let's see if Wilbon from PTI, you know him from PTI. There he goes. He walks away now. He stopped to do the other show.
Should we beckon him with our fingers? He'll recognize that.
He should.
Let's
Hello!
Try winking.
My friend Michael.
Michael!
Oh, you're killing me. You are killing me.
Michael Wilbon.
He's talking.
He's engaged.
He's engaged with someone right now.
M-Dubs.
Hey, Michael.
The Swiss man didn't know who we were, what we were doing.
Pardon the interruption, but wouldn't you like to be on the Don and Mike show?
I get that joke. That's a very funny joke. Pardon the interruption. It's very clever. PTI, as you call it.
I won't be ignored, Michael. Michael Wilbon, where are you going?
Wilbon!
Where are you going?
He's broken into a run now.
Michael Wilbon!
Rob, scream! You forgot your Velcro pants.
You forgot your Velcro pants.
That's funny. We made Michael Wilbon run away.
Oh, we've chased a few people away today, and I'm sweating again.
Well, it's time for another. It's time for another break to go back to the official Super Bowl bar, Mike.
Fantastic, Don.
Get ready, because it's time for the Uncle Cartoon part of the show.
Oh, Jesus.
Now,
I need a full bath towel.
We're not going to have time for the whole low-budget Jeopardy, but Uncle Cartoon at the Super Bowl. We got to do it.
Very excited. I'm gonna suck it up.
Very good.
Thank you so much, and I love you, Swiss Watch.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bear down Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl 35 on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. For the Bears, it's down their last ditch effort. Fourth down and goal. They're at the 8-yard line. The handoff to Buzz Burbank. Breaks the tackle at the line of scrimmage. He's at the 5, sheds a tackler at the 2. Touchdown, Buzz Burbank. And the Bears have won the world championship.
Don and Mike Show.
Two willful boys, Don and Mike.
Well, as it turns out, this is not the best Super Bowl show we've ever done, but I think it's
we've been kind of lean. It's the funniest one we've ever done. We have been, as far as guests go, it is the leanest one we've ever done.
Somebody fart?
Mm-hmm. What was that?
It sounded like someone deflating a balloon. It was a gigantic.
There have been a lot of strange sounds around here today.
The NFL logo on top of this building.
Oh, I saw it, Buzz.
Steam, and that's what you're hearing.
I saw that.
I thought
right.
It was Jim Gray's bag.
Jim Gray was a little chalky.
He seemed a little pale.
He was a little uptight, but that was still good radio with our friend Jim Gray.
Sure was.
You know, for having nobody showing up except Riggins, we had a couple of people who show up, and we thank them for being on the show.
Jim Gray, John Riggins.
Because of...
The guy that had the fluorescent ticket.
Alan Line won.
Yeah.
The guy from Hawaii. Jesus, what a show.
Super Bowl Wayne.
And don't forget, screaming at the guy from TLC or whatever it was.
We had Jesse James on from the show you didn't know.
Jesse James, and then the running...
We had Mark Schlereth on from ESPN.
Yes. And Michael Wilbon went running away
absolutely.
From us. With all of that having been said, we've not had time, and we don't have time now, because we want to get to Buzz's news and comments. For Low Budget Jeopardy, we did bring along... Hold on. Hey, Rob, y'all. Hey, Rich Eisen.
Hey, Rich Eisen! What up?
He's a handsome
Rob, that's too great. That's too great.
He's fun.
That works.
You gotta know, he's walking down a hallway of people, man, and every head turns with Rob's gigantic voice. Hey, Rich, and he turns and
Rob projects.
Yeah.
He gives that look that he's not really sure if it's a fan or someone who's mocking him.
Exactly.
Or an assassin.
And he shouldn't be sure.
Anyway, we're going to play Jeopardy Friday. We don't have time today, but we did want to bring in the world's biggest sports fan, Captain...
How are you, Don?
Uncle Luigi.
You're not Uncle Luigi. Okay. I'm Uncle Cartoon.
Uncle Cartoon.
You got your head up your butt or something.
He's very tired.
God almighty.
I'm sorry.
Isn't this great? Are you having a good time at the Super Bowl, of course?
Uncle Cartoon.
God, is this a beautiful room. I've never seen so much exposed pipe in my life. My God, I love to laugh. How are you? Hi, Rob. How are you? Wonderful. Am I speaking too loudly for you?
I hear you fine.
Super duper.
I hear you fine.
Oh, my God.
Now listen.
I understand you're having a great show. Is anybody else not showing? Super. I love to laugh each and every day. I smell popcorn. Can we all have a piece or two?
I bet.
Where are the macadamia nuts?
You know, I'm a...
Oh, God.
This is a sensitive subject. With me.
Sensitive? Ooh, I've been sensitive.
Are you?
Just ask my proctologist. Don't touch me there. It's sensitive, of course.
Are you at a good hotel?
I'm in a horrible hotel. Oh. I swear to God. No running water. Cold showers. You're supposed to have cold showers when you get those urges. Well, you know what I mind. Do you like my big hat? 10 gallons. Let's go cattle ranching. Let's drill for oil. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
I think we're going to
miles and miles of Texas. God, howdy.
We're going to need
man,
a
oh
song.
Man. Let's ride horses, where's, shall we?
Robbie, if you would find Deep in the Heart
miles
of Texas.
Deep
there.
In the Heart of... Play my favorite tune. Please play my favorite tune right now. Here it comes.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Uncle Cartoon.
The skies at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah.
Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. Oh, cut it out. Shut it off.
You know what's great?
You look good in blue.
So do you.
Fantastic. Free drinks. Let's all drink alcohol. My God. Isn't this a cesspool? I swear to God. Howdy doody, Donnie. It's good to see you. Are we all here? You got your tickets? The big game! Whoop-dee-doo. Am I being too loud?
No,
I'm afraid I might be. Oh, jeez.
Not at
Hello,
all.
Hello, everybody. It's Uncle Cartoon here. Whoopee, three nuts. I'm worried about Jim Gray's bag. Super.
Uncle Cartoon.
We're the famous people.
Exactly.
Aren't we doing a broadcast? We're the famous people.
Well,
come on. Some of us, the skyline. Hey, look, the Four Seasons Hotel. That's where your boss is staying, Donnie. Howdy. Yes, sirree.
What are your thoughts?
How about some barbecue, partner? Yum, yum, yum. Let's fix it to have a big pig roast. Put the apple in its mouth. Yes, sirree. Howdy.
What are your thoughts on the upcoming game?
The game?
Yeah.
There's a game. This town smells musty. Don't you think? It could use a good cleaning.
I thought that they did a whole, like...
You like my oversized shoes? They're clown types, aren't they? But they're boots. Big, oversized cowboy boots.
And what about that belt buckle you have?
You like that? It's the Lone Star. And it squirts water out of my groin. Surprise.
Why do you...
Some surprises for you.
Why do
I'm going to get a water now.
Why do you get invited to every Super Bowl, Uncle Cartoon?
Because it's funny. It's funny to have me around. Tell jokes. Look at the skyscraper. Yes, sirree. You want to see the belt buckle again?
Yeah.
Ask me how I make it squeak. There you go. We're having fun. Hey, Hawaii. You're too old to be in the business. But thanks for the macadamia nuts. Super Bowl Wayne. Oh, a star. Yes, sirree. You're the man, Wayne. Nice hat. Oh, my God. Let's rustle up some cowboys. Can we interview them? Lone Star Fun. Ooh, this is a nice breakaway from Aunt Cartoon. What a bitch. I swear to God, she keeps my balls in a jar over my cartoon heart. Sirree. Yes, sirree, there they are, cartoon testes, sitting up there like a couple of green olives. But they're funny. Don't you think, Don? I hate that so much.
Hold on, here's a guy. Can we help you, Mr. Leo?
Look, how are you? Good to see you. It's Abe Vigoda. I loved you on Fish. You were fantastic.
Some guy wearing a media tag has come over to stare at us.
A lot of people don't know you were in The Godfather, too, Abe. Abe Vigoda, ladies and gentlemen.
How hey, what's up, dude? Your name is Vito?
Leo.
Vito, where are you from, Vito?
Take you off. You can't refuse.
There you go.
You're going to be swim efficient. You keep calling me that.
I bet you'll beat me to that, Vito. If I'm laying odds, you'll be on the other side of the ground before me.
Where do you work, Leo?
Well, I work in Worcester. I'm a newspaper writer for the Worcester Telegram and
Worcester,
Gazette in Massachusetts.
Holy Cross? The Crusaders?
That is correct.
I know that. I know my geography. Isn't that funny, Vito? Oh, God, I hate print.
Why exactly? Why exactly?
God, they're all snakes. They look at you one way and then write another thing.
Don't
trust Vito.
Why did you come walking over this way, Vito?
The noise was deafening.
Were you attracted to Uncle Cartoon?
What noise?
Hey, Vito, question if I may. Did you leave your razor in Worcester?
I know who you remind me of.
Who's
can't
that?
Think of it, but it's that gay guy that plays in the big play there.
The big play. Are you having a little early Alzheimer's?
The producers. The gay guy.
Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane.
Well, there you go.
There
of
we
course.
Go. Yes, okay. I knew you reminded
yes,
me of somebody.
Yes, and you look like Barbara Streisand, okay? Come on, silly. Oh, are you having fun, Vito?
Does somebody have a real serious question here?
A serious question, yeah. Where'd you get the hat? It's all you, baby.
You lost a laugh.
I wear the hat because I don't want to get sun.
Oh, look at that. My God.
Get my son.
All right. How about a soap and water, Vito? It's shower time, Vito. Shower time.
Okay,
and the living is easy.
I don't have access to a shower while I'm down here. I'm
surprise! Vito didn't take a shower today.
I'm living out of a van because I can't afford a room right now.
I understand. I like your sign. Are you a print journalist? I got a sign for you. We'll write for food. Very good, Vito.
Seems like you'd do anything for food.
would. I'd do anything for food. You're funny, Vito. That's great. Get in the casket and get out of here.
All right, get Ben. Get Bentley.
Thank you, Vito.
Vito, Leo.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have a heart attack.
Well, listen, you have
a hell, old dimer.
You have certainly raised eyebrows here.
Raised eyebrows? Better than plucking them. Nice shirt, Donnie.
What is your final Super Bowl message to all of the millions listening now?
Tell your partner.
Yes.
Tell Mike to take off his fag boots and put on some sneakers. And let's go, Packers.
Stay tuned.
Oh, hold on a second.
What's that? Are you calling me out already?
No, I was trying to play a song for
you. I need a bath towel. Play my Texas song.
That's what I was looking for. Because we're in Houston at the Super Bowl.
Right. Deep at night. Right in the pants of Vito. Fantastic. I've enjoyed my time here, Don.
Well, Uncle Cartoon, has been great having you on the...
No, it has been.
Yeah.
I need a large bath towel.
We love it when you're on the show.
Do you now? Fantastic. I tell you, Uncle Cartoon, needs this nitroglycerin.
I know he does.
I do. And walls of stars. Stars as far as the eyes can see.
Well, there's TV's Randy Cross.
TV's Randy Cross. Hey, Randy! How are you? There he goes. Good stuff, Don. It's the best show ever.
All right. Uncle Cartoon, who's going to win tomorrow?
I like the Patriots.
It's Sunday.
How about on Sunday? Who do you like Sunday?
Sunday I'm going for the Rams, as usual. I feel a tingling in my left hand.
Oh, dear.
Hey, come on. It's time for me to go. Buzz a little. We're the tightest shirts in the business. Fantastic. Hey, Buzz Burbank.
Hello, Uncle Cartoon.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. You can bounce quarters off his shirt. Oh, my God. I think I'm having a triumph. To be back, bro.
You do not know.
Oh, Lord.
Robbie, you gotta put the door sound effect up here because hold on there, Buzz. I think we gotta let Uncle Cartoon go before we continue.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Uncle
Goodbye,
Cartoon.
Goodbye. Toodaloo. Farewell.
Bye, Uncle Cartoon.
Have fun in Houston.
Be careful.
Wow.
That clears out the room.
It did.
That clears out the room.
You think?
We are in a room. We are in a room with about 100 disc jockeys. And it started with Randy Cross's wife, who came over and I don't know if you were even aware of the fact
I'm not aware of anything that happened.
She was giving you the hairiest of hairy eyeballs.
Was she really?
And then the old dude... And incidentally, check out the man teeth on Vito.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow. He came over, and I saw some people go into security, but the problem is when they would go to security, they started laughing.
Right.
So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
I think
I'm going to have a heart attack now.
Yes, Vito.
Vito, what's happening?
There's six people over here that want to know how big or this radio station. Where are you guys from?
We are a nationally syndicated show, dude.
From what town?
Westwood One, based out of Washington, D.C., Vito.
Oh, Westwood.
Yeah, yes. And Vito?
I have big, beautiful breasts.
You have big, beautiful breasts. I had to tell you that. It was a pleasure meeting you, Vito.
Thank you, Vito.
Thank you, Vito.
Vito not convenient to a shower while in town.
No, I think he mentioned that.
In a world where owning a radio...
Rob, you made me spit out my coat.
One man found a way to bring good news to Buzz. His people.
It's me.
He made it up.
Uncle Cartoon. You got to have some balls, man, because that clears the room.
There's only one way to do it, and you got to commit.
Mm-hmm.
You got to commit.
Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comment? Hey, Jim, what did you think?
You guys are funny.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Really?
You guys have been unbelievable.
Thank you. Nice. Jim, really, you think so?
Jim Mance is on fire today.
Yeah. Well, what's your lead story, Buzz?
Today's headline, it'll be a very Viagra Super Bowl.
Ah, Viagra.
Really?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming up.
Don and Mike show.
That was very...
professional!
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They wish that they were prettier. Don and Mike.
Time for Buzz Gurley's News Now. Mr. Gurley brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. Get it at...
someone call for a doctor?
35,000 retail locations. New double strength Viramax Ultra. Get it by calling 1-888-TRI-VMAX. Call now 1-888-TRI-VMAX. Want to mention that while we've been down in Houston broadcasting the Super Bowl show.
Aye.
Do want to thank. Limited thanks to Westwood One.
Right.
But really, we want to thank our engineer down here, Dave Sniff. You knew him from that great hit song. Was it Driver's Seat? Sniffing the Tears? Uh-huh. Anyway, Dave Sniff, nice job today.
Good guy and a good audience, which is all the more important.
Yeah. Helping us out. And now here is Guy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, forget about the Patriots and the Panthers. The real battle on Super Bowl Sunday will be Viagra versus Levitra versus Cialis. There are now three prescription sex pills for men on the market, and they're all competing for the biggest trophy of all.
You know what they are, Buzz.
Your
what,
money.
What is your favorite? I mean, I haven't
tried all three yet. Cialis is waiting for me when I get home.
Oh, you know what, Buzz? I've seen the commercials, that Cialis is one of those commercials when you watch it.
Right.
It doesn't really explain what it does.
No, they're being subtle.
And you're very curious. I thought it was a female sex thing because in the very end, the man and the woman are laying naked outside in bathtubs, and she's holding his hand and petting his hand as if to indicate, I'm ready to have sex with you.
And I always thought that the pill that Buzz would take would be Go Ask Alice.
That one too. And by the way, Levitra and Cialis, unlike Viagra, you can eat and drink, and it doesn't diminish the effect of the drug the way it does with Viagra.
So stuff yourself at a Chinese buffet.
That's right.
And then go home and F.
Eat all you want and then go crazy.
Have some MSG. Then go home and make some number three.
There you go.
Super Bowl ads have become almost as big an event as the game itself. 40% of the people watching say they do so just for the commercials. No word yet about the Viagra and Levitra spots, but we'll probably see Ditka again for Levitra. Pardon the expression, newcomer Cialis has decided to skip celebrities in favor of a couple in a hot tub. With 9/11 a little farther behind us now, advertisers say they're going for the big laugh again. Willie Nelson will be back for H&R Block.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
See, here's the thing. I was watching something on the local Good Morning Houston show today.
Right.
And, you know, it's sickening that they're so full of pride.
They're excited, yes.
And there's nothing wrong with being excited and having pride for where you live.
Yeah.
But when you get on TV and you go, and these are the people now, Good Morning Houston, don't forget, everybody, put a smile on your face, because don't forget, we're making an impression today on the world.
That's right.
Yeah, which is really not all that accurate.
We're making an impression on the world today.
We got company coming.
We haven't heard that for a long time.
We got company coming. Y'all get out there and pretend you're happy.
That's the mayor's slogan.
The slogan.
Right.
We got company coming.
Right.
What were you talking? What was the story about?
Viagra Super Bowl spots, and you were talking about the excitement here in Houston and the pride.
It's palpable.
You know, I slept really about an hour and a half last night.
Right.
You know, I think you're doing a fine job.
I'm really losing total consciousness right now with what we're doing on the show.
It's all right.
What was that story about?
It's the ads on the Super Bowl. You're going to love them.
Oh!
You know, in your bed.
I remember what I was going
to
say.
In your bed tonight, when you're about to drift off to sleep, you will achieve total consciousness.
I know what he's going to say.
Yeah?
They suck.
Whoa!
No, I saw the Willie Nelson one.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you've already seen the Super Bowl commercial?
Well, it was a feature on this Good Morning Houston show where they were showing you the commercials.
Is it as funny as the last one?
I don't think so. It's a Willie Nelson ventriloquist dummy or like a G.I. Joe doll. And if you have a problem with your taxes, you pull the string and it says, Willie says go to H&R Block.
Not funny.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, unless he's paying off his tax bill
by
doing these commercials.
Well, that's exactly what he's doing,
right?
Don't forget, anytime you see anyone today, smile, because Houston is on center stage.
You know, he's paying off his tax bill, and he's also, rolling a big fatty.
And Grandma got run over by Robin Givens. The actress struck and critically injured an 89-year-old pedestrian yesterday.
Oh, dear.
The former wife of Mike Tyson was driving her SUV. The woman was in the crosswalk of a busy intersection during rush hour in Miami. Police have ruled it was an accident. Givens was stopped at a light before it happened. Witnesses stopped her again about 10 feet afterward. Police say Givens was cooperative, shaken, and very concerned about the woman's condition. Given starred in the TV show Head of the Class and the movie Boomerang with Eddie Murphy.
An 89-year-old woman.
An 89-year-old
Buzz?
Yes?
what's all this about Viagra?
Go back to sleep, Tom.
you're one story behind. Actually, two stories behind.
After
I am so.
About to be three.
You are so very.
Actor Tony Randall's recuperating from pneumonia after having heart bypass surgery in December.
Now, Buzz, do you notice that Buzz is attempting to speak directly to you?
I am.
So that you'll focus on the show.
I'm trying to engage you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know what you need?
All right.
You need a toddy.
A drink?
Yep. Uh-huh.
I don't think there's a good chance one of two things will happen. Either I pull down my pants and run around this place or I go to sleep.
I'd pay money to see both.
Let's gamble. The 83-year-old who played Felix in TV's Odd Couple is recovering at home with his 4 and 6-year-old children at his side.
Hey, hold on. Yeah. See that guy right
Who's there?
There?
Yeah.
Who is it? That's Ken Norton Jr.
Oh.
He used to play for San Francisco and for Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You tell me if that dude's head. Look at him. Look at his face. Tell me if he doesn't look like the Kool-Aid guy. I'm not kidding.
You have had 1 hour of sleep, haven't you?
I am not kidding. Look at him and picture if he had a pitcher, you know, the handle of the pitcher coming out of the side of his
spout.
Head. Kool-Aid man. Look at him. I swear
very,
to God.
Very happy face.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Could he kill both of us?
I know he could.
Yeah.
He probably don't take Viagra.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The U.S. military says it will capture Osama bin Laden.
This is the fourth story.
This year. Yes, it is.
Hey, good
job.
Good. Thank you. Now you're on the case.
Thank you.
They say they'll do it certainly before Christmas and perhaps within the next few months.
Before the election?
Yeah, that would be timely, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the word from Lieutenant Colonel Brian Hilferty.
I detected some sarcasm there, but
well,
I'll let it go.
I will tell you, that is a conspiracy theory among the Democrats that we believe that there's probably going to be a capture before the election. And it's probably
Doesn't he look like the Kool-Aid man?
You're
look
killing
at Ken
me.
Norton.
You're killing me with that. Stop it.
Look at him.
You're deliberately embarrassing me in front of a reporter.
Quoting the Lieutenant Colonel, we have a variety of intelligence, and we're going to catch bin Laden and Mullah Omar this year. But he says the job's made tougher by Pakistan's refusal to let
Shannon
U.S.
Sharp.
Forces patrol its border.
Sharp. Shannon.
Where bin Laden's thought to be hiding. Hey, where are the pictures we were supposed to see?
I don't know.
Lawyers for R&B singer R. Kelly have asked the judge to keep out of court the nude photos found on a digital camera.
Oh.
The lawyers...
Really?
Yes. The lawyers,
really?
The lawyers say the pictures were seized in an illegal search. Police were looking for drugs when they found the camera. They say it's not uncommon for drug offenders to take pictures of themselves using, which is why they looked at the pictures.
Wow.
The 37-year-old Kelly's charged with a dozen counts of child pornography. He faces similar charges in Chicago. He's been told he can attend the Grammy Awards ceremony this year, but only if he stays away from Michael Jackson.
Bacardi Limon.
That should be easy. Jackson is neither a presenter nor a nominee.
Bacardi Limon.
Of course, it has nothing to do with it.
It doesn't, but it sounds funny.
Except the Jesus juice and
Bacardi Limon.
Michael Jackson.
In a Coca-Cola can.
I got a fart.
A judge in Florida is in hot water for asking the defendant in a rape case, why would you want to rape her? Quoting the judge, he doesn't look like a day at the beach.
When did you pass the exam, Rob?
I'm on the bench now.
The 70-year-old judge now says he doesn't remember the comment, but he's asking the woman to accept his apology and promising never to do it again.
Jesus, that's bad.
Fortunately for everyone, the woman wasn't in the courtroom when he made the insensitive remark. Critics say the incident shows that many people, including judges, still think rape is a crime of sex when it's more often a crime of violence perpetrated by a man who has issues.
I hope it brings all of the women of WJFK closer together.
The judge in this case, by the way, sentenced the accused to 21 years
Amen,
in prison
Sleepy.
And 17 years probation.
It had to be one of them, right?
Amen, Sleepy.
That 70s show will soon be history. Now that co-stars Topher Grace and Ashton Kutcher appear to have movie careers, they say there won't be another season after next year. And Sharon Osbourne's TV talk show.
I think
show.
I saw one of those That 70s Show girls in my my Stuff Him Maxim magazine.
Yeah, actually a couple of them have been in there.
The redhead?
Yeah.
Laura Prepon.
Yeah.
She's
both,
hot.
Well, it might have been the blonde. It was a blonde.
I like the redhead better on that show.
It was a blonde that has very pretty eyes.
The blonde is the mom.
No.
This is a young girl.
The blonde is the father.
You know what? F you both.
Are you talking to me?
No, I was talking to Rob and Buzz.
There is.
They're always against
me. Topher Grace's sister.
What, Buzz?
Sharon Osbourne's talk show is being canceled.
Oh, no. You know what? That's the Baldwin factor.
Told you so.
That's when she had Fat Alec on. That's why it got canceled.
Lack of viewers. Critics,
told you so.
Critics say her in-your-face style, coarse language, and in-bed interviews are the reason that show will disappear by midsummer.
I liked the show.
Renewed shows now include NBC's Las Vegas and Showtime's The L Word.
So happy for Jimmy Kahn.
The pay cable lesbian drama was renewed just 11 days after it premiered.
I sure liked the Jimmy Kahn.
He's good in that.
Don, do you like the Jimmy Conn?
I like the JC.
He was Sonny Corleone.
I'm aware of that. I'm aware of his body of work.
Hey, yo, Mr. Corleone.
He was a hothead.
Senator. and don't forget, Brian.
This is my offer to you, Senator. Nothing. And I would appreciate you putting up the money for the gaming license. Personally.
Do you do Brian's song?
I've never done a line for Brian's song.
James Conn and Brian, what is it he says?
The guy that he plays Brian
Piccolo.
It's something like, Walter, you're dying. I mean, it's...
God, you should have been a screenwriter.
That was wonderful.
That was
a great line.
Film history.
Something like that.
Did you do James Conn and Elf?
Dude, what's up?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus of Seinfeld fame has a career that's in arrested development. Her NBC sitcom was canceled last year, and the producers of the critically acclaimed Fox sitcom Arrested Development say their offer of a part in that show has been rescinded because she wanted too much money.
I think Buzz's microphone sounds really good.
Oh, Buzz is wearing.
I want to do the show with those.
Buzz is wearing the Keith Jackson type headset that is good for sporting events, but. Mike, when you're at work, you normally don't have to hold the microphone. Is that the problem today?
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Tired.
Okay, well, we've only got a half hour left.
My arm's beginning to shake.
We're going
to
do that half hour.
You know my upper body strength, for Christ's sake.
I know.
I swear to God, I feel like I've got a Charlie horse in my bicep.
Here's a piece of the change arms.
Oh, that's beautiful.
As if the cast of The Sopranos hasn't made enough money. They just got a huge out-of-court settlement. Okay.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
From Best
Buy. Appreciate it. Thank you.
There's Tony.
Best Buy, the retail electronics chain, used likenesses of 8 of the show's cast members in an ad last year, a newspaper ad, without their permission. 4 of them will now get $1.5 million for that unauthorized use.
Wow.
Smoking Gun website says the settlement is supposed to be secret, so it's unable to find out why Uncle Junior, Joey Pants, Janice, and Drea were not part of the lawsuit or the settlement.
Great. Give them millions of dollars. Maybe they come down here and get a nice hotel room.
But
maybe
I like the
ticket to the game.
I like the Buscemi factor on The Sopranos. I think that's going to be good.
Yeah.
As do I, and even though I'm ramping it down and publicly saying I'm not excited about The Sopranos, blah, blah, blah.
I think it might be better than the second year. I think it's going to be better than the
second
year.
You know we'll watch.
Yeah, of course we will.
It comes back March 7th, the day before my birthday.
Oh.
Hey,
that's a reminder.
Yeah. Good move, Rob.
That's a reminder.
Really smart.
Thank you, Rob. Time to go to the ATM.
Not yet, Mike.
Time to go to the exotic bakery.
Pastries. Have the pastries formed in the shape of my genitals to present to Rob on the day of his birth.
The penis pastries.
I tell you, they did a marvelous job. I tell you, they did a fantastic job. And it took me hours to get the butter off.
Tastier than last year.
Look at that curve and everything.
Uh-huh.
If the fine is only...
How did you know that?
Saw last year's cake.
Oh, there you go.
If the fine is only $100 and he doesn't have to show up in court, why is Garfunkel fighting his marijuana charges?
I bet you have the answer.
Oh, yeah.
You know I do. A limo carrying the 60s singer was stopped in New York State last week for speeding. The cop smelled pot smoke and found some weed in Art's pocket.
And again, you know, and Buzz, I've been down this road and I've learned the hard way you don't do it. But I think you should get some kind of immunity if you're in the back of a limo. God knows, I've partied in the back of limos before back in the day, and that's where you always felt the safest. You'd put up the privacy thing, and you don't worry about what's going to happen.
Immunity unless you're Alan Linewand.
You know, that was in those days, whoever was with you partied with you anyway, whether they wanted to or not.
I know they did.
I got out of a few limos saying, why does my head feel funny?
I know they did. Too bad they didn't pull over Linewand's limo.
Oh, that's horrible.
All Art has to do is pay the $100 fine unless he's had a criminal conviction in the last 3 years, and authorities won't comment on that.
And you know what? When they pull over Linewand's limo, you know what they're going to find in it?
What?
Opium.
No.
No? What will they find, Don?
Jesus, that's not funny.
Rob is tired, too.
Rob's tired. Alan was not smoking salmon.
Alan was smoking...
Oh, I get it.
Alan was smoking
food
salmon.
Joke.
Yeah.
It's a food joke.
Sure.
Rob, come on.
No.
I'm sorry.
Not so much.
That's all right.
James Brown says...
Very cat skills, Rob.
All right.
Alan Lightman was smoking salmon.
Volume.
James Brown says he feels bad. And not just about his mugshot.
Wow, and I thought I was looking in the mirror when I looked at that picture today.
Oh, it's not that bad. He's out of jail now after being arrested yesterday for domestic violence. He apparently shoved his wife to the floor. She was treated for scratches and bruises to her arm and hip.
Maybe she wouldn't listen.
He's being asked to stay away from his wife while the charges are pending. He could get 30 days in jail and have to pay a $500 fine.
He was smoking salmon.
That's why he did it.
That's funny. According to Soul Brother number one, the main thing is I would never hurt my wife and beat up on her like that. I love her very much.
Gee, your hair smells terrific.
Buzz, what is your next story on the news in the comments? Live from the Super Bowl.
Another hotel worker comes forward to say she had sex with Kobe Bryant.
Oh. Hey, now.
Yeah,
hey, all right, now. Buddy, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. And I say bravo to you, sirs. Bravo to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We'll dedicate this one to Houston, Texas.
The Southern night.
Yeah. That's right. Thanks, Joe.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was a good ditty, Rob. Hell of a ditty.
Here is Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Well, another female hotel worker's come forward to say that she, too, had sex with Kobe Bryant. She says it was consensual, but this actually helps the prosecutors in the Colorado rape case.
Oh, poor you.
Because it reinforces their theory that Kobe had, for some time, been trolling hotels for sex. But because the Oregon woman says Kobe was the perfect gentleman, it could also help the defense argument that Kobe did not force himself on the Colorado complainant. One legal expert says it might not help either side. He says he's unaware of any case that introduced a prior act of good conduct.
Now, she had other men's number three in her most intimate of love canals and also in her underpants, right?
The Colorado woman apparently had contact with somebody after Kobe.
And we don't even get room service.
Exactly.
Yeah, doesn't that suck?
Yeah, I mean, here's a girl who's got two different other guys, number three in her,
mm-hmm.
and she's in the hotel, mm-hmm. and he calls down, like, for dinner or something.
Yeah, and
it's been late. Then, okay, it ended up maybe costing him his career.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I mean, I bet he had room service.
I bet he did.
Well, he really did have room service.
I bet he had some curly fries.
Oh, I bet he did.
After all these years, Leggy,
wings,
Leggy supermodel.
Breasts.
Thighs.
Oh, yeah.
After all these years, Leggy supermodel Rachel Hunter has agreed to appear in Playboy magazine.
Good for her.
The men's magazines have been after her since she was 17.
She won't show pink, though, right?
Right.
Well, that's because it's Playboy.
Well.
And now Penthouse is going away from that, too.
Nice boost.
And I think that sucks. I think that stinks. I think it's fixed.
Rod Stewart just flat wouldn't allow it during the time he was married to Rachel. She's now 35, and as always, there will be airbrushing. Friends say she posed.
She looks good.
Topless. Oh, she looks great.
Yeah.
Topless, but not all nude.
Mm-hmm.
For this, she was paid $1.8 million.
Not enough.
Beverly D'Angelo.
Yes.
Jeremy Piven. Beverly.
Hey, that was,
Buzz,
that
Buzz
was
had a toddy.
That was your absent
yes,
show.
Yes.
Oh, did you have a drink?
Buzz
today?
Had a drink.
That was a couple hours ago.
Christ, I should have drank.
I think it's important to point out, Buzz and I both had one drink on the show today.
That's right, just one.
Only one, and mine's worn off.
Drink responsibly this Super Bowl weekend.
I have a horrible headache.
Beverly D'Angelo was spotted the other day at an autograph show at a Holiday Inn in Los Angeles.
This little girl had knockers.
This is sad. She
hey,
was,
Buzz, are you going to be able to get us to the restaurant?
Well, I hope the cab driver can do that.
Well, Buzz, I'm driving.
He's driving, right. And you said you drove by it.
Well, we're going to have to call the restaurant for directions, I think.
All right.
Oh, Christ, you guys, you're killing me.
You know, she was... Well, I don't live here.
I know, I don't live here either.
She was selling...
I just wanted... And the problem with Houston is that you can't get there from here.
Right.
No matter what it is you want to do, you can't get there from here.
You said you drove by it.
Hey, guys,
you know
there's no problem with Houston.
No, it was dark, and it was 1 a.m., and I was on the shuttle.
Hey, guys, right. guys, there's no problem with Houston.
Not at all.
Radio. What a classy city.
Beverly D'Angelo was selling nude photos of herself for $100 each.
Hey,
that's sad. At Holiday Inn in Los Angeles the other day.
You call it sad, I call it a bargain.
Well, she's supposed to be a big-time actress. What's she doing at Holiday Inn?
She was dating Al Pacino.
No, Al Pacino dumped her after she had his kid.
Big child custody fight and everything.
So is she, like, destitute now?
She's at Holiday Inn selling nude photos of herself. What do you think?
I would have bought a nude photo.
Let's go there for dinner tonight.
Really?
Not far from her was Margot Kidder selling topless photos of herself.
Oh, that's
Now, what was this function that they were at?
It was an autograph show, a collectible show.
Any pictures of Margot Kidder hiding in the woodpile?
No, sadly, no, Rob. Yeah,
did she have that retard haircut, that Kenny Mayne haircut?
Don't be too hard on her. She's just a kidder.
You know, I just saw him in the John a couple of seconds ago.
Kenny Mayne?
And his hair does look like Margot Kidder's after she was hiding behind those bushes and thought that aliens were coming down to abduct her.
Yeah. Did you see him walking in with a supermodel?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
He's got that same Craig Kilborn thing happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does that work? Kate Jackson had the longest line of fans. She was there selling autographed photos, but none of hers were nude. A source close to the New York Post, rather, says we wouldn't have wanted those photos anyway of Kate Jackson. The source says she's now so emaciated, quote, her face resembled a razor blade. A fan asked D'Angelo.
Who said that, Buzz?
A source.
Michael Source.
There it is.
Thank you, Buzz.
A fan asked D'Angelo why she doesn't do more theater. She said her last play was 3 hours long and she had to do it twice a day. Quoting her, it's too much work.
Honest. I like her.
Who said that? Frida Soros?
No.
Oh, Beverly D'Angelo.
That's okay. Right. Well, I've seen the before and after photos, and they seem to support the theory that Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry has gotten Botox injections.
I thought he had Botox.
Quoting one surgeon, not only is it Botox, but it's classic bad Botox. His forehead is just way too smooth. It looks weird.
You know, they have a bunch of great before and after pictures that have just been done over the last few months.
Right.
Where he has that Skeletor look to him now.
Right. He's got that kind of overhanging forehead, too, where it's kind of hard to see his eyes.
It's a bizarre appearance, says this doctor, that he's not got a wrinkle. That just doesn't happen to 60-year-olds, and another doctor agrees with that.
A little bit. The procedure looks a little bit Frankenstein-y.
He does.
Botox,
really does.
Good.
And he's got such a long, narrow face.
But Kerry is still denying he's had the injections. But then he also denied having any health problems last year while he was being treated for prostate cancer. President Gerald Ford used to break wind loudly and then blame it on his Secret Service men.
Hey, Charlie.
President John Quincy Adams.
Hey, Buzz. Hey, Mike. Hey, Rob.
John Quincy Adams swam in the White House pool in the nude. President Chester Arthur was a clothes horse and owned 80 pairs of pants.
Wait, what does this have to do with the other guy farting?
Well, they're all in the same book.
It's quirky things the president's did.
That's right.
Okay, I got you.
Warren G. Harding lost...
Houston, Texas.
Warren G. Harding lost a lot of priceless White House china in a poker game. These are the things you'll find in a new book called Secret Lives of U.S. Presidents.
See, there you go. Okay,
Buzz wrote the book.
There's the payoff. Thank you, Buzz.
I like the fact that Grover Cleveland is the only U.S. president to have personally hanged someone. He threw a noose over two criminals' necks back when he was a sheriff. And the book says JFK constantly had the venereal disease chlamydia and spent the first moments of the Bay of Pigs invasion getting a big shot of penicillin.
Wow.
All right.
I got chlamydia.
First penis.
All right, chlamydia.
Al Franken ran into Roger Ailes at a lunch spot in New York this week.
Hold on. Our number one joke writer just wrote,
yes?
Follow up to your last story.
Yes, about the president.
This is good, Rob. I'm just so tired. Bill Clinton got a gay BJ, and Ronald Reagan ate a light bulb. I don't know.
Not in the book.
It's funny, though.
Equally interesting.
Funny, though.
So Al Franken runs into Roger Ailes at a lunch spot in New York this week. Roger runs Fox News, the organization that sued Franken for using the phrase fair and balanced in his book title.
Correct.
Franken greeted Roger by inviting him on Al's new radio show. Roger declined. Then the comedian brought up the lawsuit. Whose idea was it, he asked. Was it O'Reilly's? According to a newspaper reporter who was there, Roger indicated that, yes, it was Bill O'Reilly's idea.
Oh, that's big.
And don't forget, Buzz, I hate to let a moment go by without noting that February 14th is coming very soon.
Yes,
Valentine's. Still time for you to order your copy of Who's Looking Out for You?
By Bill O'Reilly.
By Bill O'Reilly.
That's right.
And don't forget, you can get someone else to write in your loved one's name above his signature.
He said that.
That's part of his spin.
Because, Rob, he is a...
Oh, he's a whore!
It's a bargain. So then, after finding out that it was Bill O'Reilly's idea to sue, Franken said, I'm planning to call my radio show the O'Franken Factor. Do you think you can sue me again?
Well, you know what? Al Franken's getting way too much press.
Yeah. Well, that's my fault. In sports...
You like him.
Football veteran and commentator Terry Bradshaw had a nightmare of a blind date recently. The 55-year-old bachelor says he went out to dinner with the woman and got rejected when he reached for her hand. The Hall of Famer...
tells
and
me.
And the hand fell off.
No.
It was an evil hand. It was the hand of the undead.
He tells the Inquirer, she said, don't touch me. You are everything I'm against in a man. There's no tingle. You're bald. You're not attractive. You're Baptist. You're divorced. And you have kids. Terry says when he asked her why she'd agreed to the date, she answered, I wanted to see what it's like to go out with a celebrity.
Nice.
But the three times divorced Bradshaw got the last laugh. When the check came, the woman asked, aren't you going to buy me dinner? No, he answered.
Cold, unfeeling hand.
Cold, rough.
Finally,
coarse.
If your boss finds out you've been selling pictures of yourself on the internet, pictures of you pleasuring yourself, it would be the end of your career, or would it?
Oh, incidentally.
Not ours. Ours, they try to make money off.
I'm fine with that, Joe. Joe's doing that. I'm fine with it. I have green-lighted the project.
The Constitution's on your side, Don. San Diego's John Rowe lost his job when his boss found out about this particular moonlighting gig, but a San Francisco Circuit Court of Appeals has ordered John's boss to rehire him. The court said what a man does...
That's
in
the right jurisdiction.
They said what he does in his off hours...
jurisdiction?
What he does in his off hours is protected by his constitutional right to free speech, even if the pictures show him... slipping out of his policeman's uniform.
Oh, jurisdiction. I get jokes.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah. That's it, Don. You know we'd love, we'd absolutely love to just spend the next 4 hours broadcasting from this convention center, which is really clearing out.
Hey, everybody, let's go tackle this town.
Everybody going to the great parties that we're not invited to.
Let's go experience this town.
Thank you, everybody, for helping out. We had a great time doing this show. We really did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This was better than most of our Super Bowl shows.
We had a fine time.
This was a good one. I love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. Have a safe weekend, everybody. We will be back Monday with the all-new episode. A good day to you, sir.
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 Good day to you, sir. And you.
So help me, Ronald Reagan ate a light bulb.
Really? I just read it. Right from your cold, unfeeling hand into mine.
My coarse hand.
I just read it. Okay, Joe, give us the door.
BM.
Peter Superman.
Until we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.